This is the second episode of Android Meme Critics, recorded on April 19th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 5.01 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Okay, take it away, Dave or Scott.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Ion. Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Hey, so glad to be here. All right. Bobby and Ion and Scotty.
Scotty, you rock.
Very good. All right, so there's some okay music this week. It's sort of shit, some of it. We'll see. It'll be fun. We'll listen to it. Ion loves it all. I shouldn't speak for
him. Yeah, I love it all. Bob loves it all.
Bob loves it all? Okay.
Now, Scott wanted to bring in the comments that we've received so far, right, Scott?
Sure, you know, it's like a Casey Kasem thing. We'll read the viewer mail from the first episode. So,
is this a heart to heart?
Yeah.
That we have a shout out for the Casey Kasem crew. Go good, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This isn't a long distance dedication, but something like it. So, Modemac said on February 28th, this is a test, this is only a test. So that's a very succinct comment.
Yeah, now Modemac is the chief archivist or news journalist for the Church of Subgenius, and he left a comment on the Rock Critics saying, you know, trying to expose me, hey, this ain't Bob Dobbs, this is Bob Dean, the usual rigmarole. And he, I guess on this one, he just said, this is a test, and he thought we'd be fearful, and that was enough. He's warning us that he's watching us, and we better watch
right.
Our ways.
When he put a link to his Bob Dean
Wikipedia. Yeah.
Second comment from Rob says, excellent to hear you guys analyzing popular music. Very, very good. Then third comment, Capricious, said, the machine, massaging the machine. Any of these songs is over in less than a minute. Rear view polling demands 3.5 minute songs.
So they don't. We were doing it too short from their view.
I guess that's one interpretation of what he's saying.
Hey, what's that cool sound?
That's the church bell.
That's JW's big grandfather clocks.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I love in the daytime when that church bell goes off in the background. It sounds like three-dimensional, even on little teeny speakers. It's amazing.
Yeah, when during cash flow, you mean.
Yeah, it's so archetypal, that sound. You almost think it's coming from outside. So even though it's coming in the house, you think it's kind of coming outside as well. So it kind of creates a three-dimensional effect, whereas it's normal talking, and that doesn't.
Right. It's and those clocks are evidence that the thinning of the veil is affecting the gravity and magnetism. Maybe, Ion, you can explain. The clocks are odd now.
Oh, okay. That's fine. He likes to collect stuff. And so he likes these long case clocks. Well, they're 8-day clocks, which means that someone has to come put the key in and wind them once every 8 days. What he noticed was if they keep perfect time or real close to perfect time, and he has to have them wound about every 3 days, and they keep within a minute a month, but there's the weights fall in 2 to 3 days, and they're still keeping accurate timing.
That's whereas when they were manufactured, they didn't. They would
no. They used to last 8 days, and recently, as you thin the veil, you marvelous human creators, you that effect or the gravitational pull has actually increased without affecting the timing. Which is our time, which is a false premise in and of itself. But it's not keep up with the tick-tocks, it's to keep up with how fast the weights are falling.
So the falling weights, the time is correct, but the falling weights have changed, and JW, he knew the clocks, they used to be 8 days, they just changed the last couple of years, he's had the clocks for a long time.
All of his clocks are having, well, just the one particular
one. Yeah,
the
two of them, the two grandfather clocks have both changed.
Huh.
Equally.
I wonder, have you asked if anyone else that JW knows, that they've been noticing that? Because I know a lot of people don't have those kind of clocks, so there's not too many people you could ask.
Well, let's ask Ion. Well, anybody else noticing this?
He had the representative come down to see what in the hell was going on with his clocks, and they said they're perfect. And so he said, well, then sit your butt here for 2 days and see what happens. And so they did little test things, took the weights off, did different things. weights, and then they actually had a way to calculate the flow with the calibration with the moon phases. Especially in the presidential series, they have all kinds of extra gobbledygook things that they do. And they said it's an anomaly. They couldn't explain it, but they said, hey, it's deep in time, so we can't do past
rolling
it.
But it's only reported by JW. It's only happening in his home? I mean, how come it's happening to other grandfather clocks and they haven't got reported?
Who knows? We don't know. People don't know. They just figure, oh, well.
So you personally, do you know if other clocks are being affected that way?
Some have been, yes. Especially those Black Forest cuckoo clocks.
Mm-hmm.
They have effects, but they're never quite so accurate. So anytime your time is adjusted or matriculated, you can't attribute it to the weights. That's what the pendulum swings.
Mm.
So if they're not keeping what you call accurate timing, then you have nothing to gauge the litmus of how fast or slow they're running.
Okay, so that's the clocks, Dave. You like the sound, and that's the background to the wonderful sound. And we also have the train come through sometimes.
That's also that's a sound that can evoke something bizarre, too. It's like activity far away going somewhere. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, McLuhan.
Maybe you've heard it when you're younger.
Yeah, McLuhan talks about the lonely whistling of the locomotives on the prairie where he grew up. I think was a sign of the separateness of man. I'm not sure, but he would also say it's an emotional, romantic thing of faraway places.
Oh, right. That's Hank Williams Sr.
Hank Williams Sr.? What did
Hank
he say?
Marshall McLuhan.
Okay.
Well, Hank Williams III came up recently in just my encounters. You know him?
Yeah. He's a new young kid.
He's the, you know, the grandson.
Yeah.
And I heard his stuff, good playing. It's like almost like punk rockabilly, not even rockabilly. He said, he's putting the cunt back in country.
hey.
Yeah.
Well, Bob tears it up on the weekend, so why not?
This guy tears it up, I think, more often than that even.
Yeah, and my weekend is Wednesday on Cashflow and Tailgate. That's my weekend. We do serious private readings, then we just do this jokey, hokey public readings where chaos rules.
It's fun,
no,
yeah.
That's control, Bob, not chaos.
Oh, control takes place, yes.
Yeah.
We control ourselves.
Okay, guys, I think we should get on track soon. Eh?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Capricious.
Yeah, so one more comment from Capricious. I bet Kesha will shave her head in one of her videos. She is the automated feedback of the real-world Britney Spears.
So he's saying she's the Android meme clone of a real Britney Spears. So he likes Britney Spears, is that what he's saying?
I don't know, he doesn't really say. Just,
well, that's true, that's a good point, Bob. He had to suggest that Keisha's a clone or something.
Of Britney Spears.
He wouldn't disagree, because eventually someone will become a clone of Keisha, and then they'll disagree with that, too.
You know what's interesting? What's interesting to me that is you have a kid who's 13 or 14 liking pop music. Then when they get 18, 19, 20, they get a little more, quote, cynical or detached. And so the next person, the Britney Spears, they like when he's 13, the next person is just a mere imitation of his roots.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or Sade on good heroin.
Yeah. More work for Scott.
Yeah, oh, more deleted. Thanks a lot, Aya.
Thanks much, fucker.
You know
hey,
her.
So,
you, somebody
hello,
knows
let's
her.
Get, what?
Somebody knows Sade.
Let's get it on.
Do you know Sade, Dave?
I don't personally.
Oh, okay. So, but the thing is, what's interesting is that a kid, now Ion could maybe comment on this, a kid enters our society, it's been virtual, electronic for 100 years, but for them, as they grow up, they think it's real. And then they become aware of the simulation, then they think, oh, that isn't real. So they actually get to the croaker phase of the chart, you know, where, oh, it's a virtual society. You see what I'm saying? But they begin thinking it's real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then as they grow up, so how would you get into that, Ion?
But even that will have sentimental value, will it not?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Britney Spears is their last register of reality. And so when someone imitates Britney from their point of view, that sentimentality to look back to Britney is real.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ion, what is this process that kids are perceiving And why do they think later that it's what they liked and thought was real was the replay is a simulation?
Well, it's just like Joe Cocker, and it makes me want to shout. Any emotion place that's registered from that place is a marker. It has nothing to do with time. It's timeless. Because lots of the little ones running around now are doing beetle business.
Yeah.
It's actually revolving right back to where it was from your spaced out days of Woodstock, to the point that they're saying there's no more new good music. It's all so out there that they can't adapt or attach to whatever the artisan, we use that word loosely, are emulating, having emulation regarding, just to see, not to sell the music anymore, it's just to see how many hits they get on the boob tube.
Okay, so you're saying that Joe Cocker or Crocker?
Same Cocker. Thing.
Joe Cocker, he said, "I want to shout." That's a song he did?
That's the song.
No.
Who did that song, Dave? I want to shout.
Shout was the Isley Brothers originally or whatever. There, a lot of people covered it. I forget who did Shout originally. Obviously, Lulu had a hit with it as well. Cocker, of course, is awesome.
The song, do you agree, Ion, that we're talking about, you're talking about Shout, what we're calling Shout?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Cocker did that, Dave?
Well, he certainly shouted.
So, Ion, you're saying the shout feeling that a kid feels.
Yeah.
That is...
Sure, I'll speak for... I am not Ion, sorry, I shouldn't say yeah.
Ion is your... Ion is our non-physical Dave, so we are talking to ourselves here. We're talking to Scott, Dave, and me through JW.
And Vestal Goodman.
Oh, and Vestal Goodman, yes, the gospel singer, if you don't know. But Dave... looking for a reason.
I love the way the audience gets real nuts when she starts singing. Yeah. She's just like a real pretty bird, you know. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we love that.
And then Johnny Cook tries to go higher, and he does, and then she goes higher.
Ah!
That's what's going on there. That's maybe what you think is the cheering. It's a competition. And this is the opener for the third hour of Cashflow. We always play it. Vessel sings it. And then he sings it higher, then she goes higher, then he goes higher, then she does a third level, and he does it the third time, and she concedes to him.
In full high seats.
Yeah, both tenors, that's right. So you thought it was just her going higher and higher, Dave, right? And the crowd applauding as she went higher, but they're applauding the other person continuing it and going higher. Do you know what I mean?
I just thought they were getting off of her and she busted out a wicked solo. They're just like, we love this.
It's higher and higher. But the shout thing, I mean, Ion's saying that the kids want to shout. And then what was the second part? That they then get mad because the simulation effect comes in?
No, because they go to whatever memory point that they engage.
Yeah.
The same way your rockabillies and your rockers, most of those started in their local churches,
yeah,
and then evolved into their own medium, and then Diana Ross, and then your Streisands, and then your Sir Eltons, and Billy Joel started coming into their rotations. To the point that it's evolved into this, the acidity of acid rock and every other dynamic that is just a play on the good old-timey class singing. It's just lines and spaces, boys, whether y'all like that or not. And then the variation or the variegation thereof allows all fuller Stratocaster versions of Stairway to Heaven or with a Two Sides of Freebird to get you into a place that it's something different. But it ain't different. It's the same notes, it's the same keys, it's the same flow.
But different technology. Different technological filters.
Yeah, but it's all a massage.
It is.
Which is what Capricious says. What's he say, Scott? Something about a massage?
Somebody wanted to sleep with Britney Spears, wasn't it?
Lost the comment
on the bottom. But the what I wanted to say about so Vessel Goodman, J.W. told me, Dave and Scott, that Vessel Goodman, she was born in 1929, she was the first modern gospeler, and the blacks learned it from her. Now,
the first white gospeler?
White modern gospel. How would you explain that, Ian?
White modern gospel. I can't imagine the first modern gospeler.
No, she was different. Can you go into that history of Vessel a bit, Ian? Or maybe you don't know
that. Is born. Whoa.
Well, this was J.W. said that the black 50s and 60s gospelers were influenced by Vessel.
Certainly. She was a little girl born in Sand Mountain, Alabama. That's close to Huntsville.
Yeah.
Close to, well, north of Gadsden, south of Huntsville. Albertville, Sand Mountain. And she married Howard Goodman, who was a relative Pentecostal preacher, and they started singing. And in that singing process, she developed a specific type sound, which became a female, most par excellence, belting tenor, which was an anomaly. And it just caught on, and then those old songs gave the freeway toll gates an open venue for every dynamic to engage the gospel, black gospel connotation from the, still from the Pentecostal church of what you call the Holy Rollers.
Right.
And that's where that stemmed from, and she made it a class act, which then in turn affected tons and tons and tons of black and white Christian music or gospel music. Well, gospel meaning post-Renaissance, but gospel music, country
right.
Gospel music.
I'd like to say Renaissance. It's like re-entry sauce.
Yeah.
The naissance
was re-entry. No Renaissance.
There was no Renaissance, it was re-Renaissance. So Dave, what's interesting, she's like the, if you think of Bob Dylan, loosening everybody up.
Ooh,
with
I want to know where you go when you know. Yeah, man. Delicious, Bob.
No. Dylan's surrealistic poetry loosens everybody up in the mid-60s.
Or sent them right to heaven, one of the two.
Yeah. But that seminal effect of Dylan is what I'm saying, and J.W. says Vessel Goodman was. So she's an important person in the history of American music. And
only Vestal, unlike Bob Dylan, didn't move you to drop a tab of acid.
Right, and Ion said, Dave and Scott, that Vestal, have you seen some of those YouTubes I sent out, Dave, of her singing? They're pretty incredible. But
no, I don't know if you sent me YouTubes of her.
They were on the bulk list, but that's about 6 months ago, and you might have missed it. But the point is, Ion said that she was so good at this that she would levitate, and that's why she wore dress long so nobody could see it.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And if you really, 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 the songs that she made most famous, they are very, very, very enlightening, but they're not so quite so dogmatic.
Right. Right.
There's not the dogma of turn or burn, you motherfucking son of a whore bitch. Get out of church because you don't qualify.
Universal.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials, looking for a city, the Eastern Gate. And it goes all the way through the sweetest song I know, Heaven's Jubilee. These particular songs, if you listen to the words, even goes into narrow is the way and wide is the gate. Even in parallel worlds, it picks up every dynamic, because at that degree or level of ascension, of course that's what you'd sing about all day, every day. And then people are running around scratching their heads or their butts because one of them are itching, they don't know which one, saying, oh, this ion is new. Oh, this information's never been said before. And we know, Lord, suffering can't. It's been around longer than you have. You just didn't notice.
Yeah, the lyrics are interesting. So
So Vessel and her husband, Happy Goodman, they would...
Harold, they were the Happy Goodmans, yes.
Oh, the Happy Goodmans. He was a preacher, but he became a singing preacher. They just travel all around the churches and show up and inspire everybody just by singing.
In a purple bus.
In a purple bus, that's nice. But they did not moralize. They just sang and made people happy. That was their ministry.
That's all we do either, Bob.
Yeah, that's all we do. We just sing. We don't moralize. So now let's see what the Android meme is trying to get us to sing to.
Okay.
So, Scott, have we done enough preamble? Did you want to bring up some other points?
They said 20 minutes ago they were ready to get with it.
No, we're doing it, but Scott wanted to talk preamble about opinions or something as messages. What did you want to say about it, Scott?
I read the comments. I think we're good.
Did you find that capricious statement about the massage game?
Yeah, he just says the machine massaging the machine. Any of these songs is over in less than a minute. Rearview polling demands 3.5 minutes.
Okay, so we now do what? I start the song?
Yeah, so, you know, you can either do it from 1 to 5, or you can do it the more traditional way and go 5 to 1. However,
let's do 5.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, we want to create some suspense here.
No. If you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how are you ever going to get the rocket to go off? No. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. So, come on, boys.
I added a bonus beat, Oldie, if we have time for it, but I won't.
Okay, cool.
I'll keep it as to what it is. So Bob,
we can do it if you want to.
Okay.
There's no limitation. So I just went downstairs to get my computer so I can look at the lyrics. I got them set up here, but it was on the other computer. So maybe we can even play since Ion likes Vessel, at the end we'll play a Vessel Goodman.
Right. Yeah, that'll be the next one. That'll be Ion's pick.
Yeah.
Do y'all get ready. We got to fill it with something, fellas. Let's go.
I know. We're going to bust.
We've lost our audience.
Yeah, so the...
And we had hoped for so much more.
Yeah.
But we're okay with that.
Okay. Yes, there's no time, there's no audience. Just those that resonate with us.
Okay, well, let's start. Claire audience, Bob.
Yes, Claire audience. Okay, so I'm just getting... So I'm going to do...
Number 5.
See what comes...
Dun, dun, dun.
It's going to
be... Shut it up, Bob.
I'm in the sunny zone, so I can't see anything, so I got to run back and forth. So I'm going to do...
The sunny zone.
Okay.
Bob, on the sunny side
of the street.
I like one of the guys is called Bob.
On the sunny side of life.
Yeah, B.O.B.
Hey. Help you every day.
Hey, Ion. Here's a story that you know about, but you'll like it, and it relates to a show you in the past that you had done on cash flow, I believe.
You mean the future?
Yes. You said there's someone I saw on CBC. It was true. A few people have had this. They almost have no brain, but they didn't really find out till later necessarily, and they weren't like hugely developmentally handicapped. But when they finally did like the X-ray and the scan, it was mostly just water.
Yeah, it's just jello.
Pretty amazing, eh? But they still were functional.
Eh?
So they were using a higher percentage of the brain matter that they had, or was that liquid?
Right. And they were still batting, had a better RBI average than you fully vested human creators.
Yeah, eh?
Nobody told them that it was a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who were you talking about, Dave? I just tuned out. Who didn't know it was a problem?
Well, he was just making filler to you.
Yeah, I know. And I was working. So I just want to know, what, Dave, were you referring to?
About the people that have almost no brain, yet they were functional.
Oh, yeah, that story. Did you bring that up? Did we do that?
I just brought it up, and Ion said, yeah, they use more of their brains than most people. What percentage of their brains do you think a typical smaller migratory bird uses?
A bird, a beast, all.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah.
Because they have no contracts to sift, so it...
It's okay, go ahead.
It becomes just the... That would be like what percentage of a bird's wings do they use to fly? All. Because they don't have to save part of their wings if it gets a feather gets blown off. No, they just freely fly with all, and they freely think with every dynamic that you would call their cadaveric brain. They use all of it.
Yeah, what's interesting, Dave, you know how Ion says non-physical doesn't create. We create the physical, but non-physical doesn't. Then Ion says all of nature is non-physical, so they don't create, but they are non-physical. They are tuned in. They don't have contrast, as Ion just said. You only in the physical do you have contrast. That's how you what you create with.
But they have some physical experience. Obviously, they are in the physical plane, even though they are... I believe I understand what you're saying in terms of they represent...
Yeah, they're non-physical in relation to us.
They still do have, you know, good days and bad days and things they don't
but
like.
But they don't know a good day from a bad day.
No way.
Yeah, and the...
That's true. They don't reflect on it, but they have an emotional response and they avoid things they don't like.
No, that's dogs.
Hold on. What? Birds now are engaging in emotional repose. We don't think so.
But, I didn't say. Well, some actually. What about pet birds that people have?
Oh, that's after. Well, cats used to didn't catch leukemia till the human creator started dragging them into their houses.
Yeah.
Now dogs catch sugar diabetes. They never had sugar diabetes till you started dragging them into your houses. They are non-physical. All right. Well, they pick up freely and easily, you, the marvelous human creator, every confounding issue, dynamic problem that is, and so therefore they pick up your residue as you are the creator. But don't add emotions to beasts because they don't emote.
Yeah, they like you when you like them, and then you hit them in the head, and they run away, and then if you rub them again, they'll like you again.
And they'll still come lick you in the ear.
Right. So it's interesting, non-physical becomes whatever we think, Dave, so nature becomes us if they around us and emit us. So,
pretty length of time. Do you see the pictures of people's dogs start looking like the person, their owners, and they have great fun with these pictures, and they can't really tell the dog from the human? Same thing.
Yeah, so Ian, when Dave says they have a physical, what does Dave mean, since they're non-physical, what does he mean when he says, well, they have a physical life? What?
He's giving the meat sack of their beast part.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, but they don't have a conscience.
Yeah, they don't have a conscience.
They just respond. Just like non-physical doesn't have a conscience, it just responds.
They do get memories, though. The animals will get memories and respond to that information later on. And then bees have a capability of abstract thought, I believe, because I remember reading National Geographic, they try that, they learn the language of bees.
Thought. They have frequencies the same way the birds from Capistrano, they get the vibrational frequency of the magnetic pulsation of the planet, and they pick up on that dynamic, just like bees know when the clover's coming in, and then they start sealing off the paths of the food that they were storing, called honey, bee spit. Then they open up the new, and the queen makes a little ruffle, and that vibration says, hey, the clover's in, let's go. And they start pollinating and sucking the juice out of the clover, and that's how you get clover honey. There's no damned emotion that goes along with that process, and we don't.
I didn't say there was. I'm just saying that they're even if they don't have emotion.
You said abstract thought.
In other words, when they learn in the National Geographic, they learn the language of the bees. It's like a Morse code from the pulsing, and then they basically said they're exchanging information, generally where there was pollen, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they tried saying to the bees, okay, there's some pollen over here, which was in the middle of the lake, and the bees knew, nah, there can't be over there, that's where the water is, and they didn't respond to that information.
Right.
So they were able to discern abstractly the information, so it doesn't matter if it has emotion.
Okay, let's see what Ion means. What you're calling abstract thought, what would you say it is, Ion?
Then your radio would have abstract thought. If what you're saying, to draw a parallel, that's the same thing the tuner on your radio does.
Mm-hmm.
So does your radio have abstract thought?
No, he means as a locator, you mean.
Well, right.
Yeah, frequency locator.
Yeah.
So that's what animals, that's what the bees are doing. They're doing frequency location.
So that's why you could direct them into the middle of the pond and they know better.
Because there's no frequency appropriate to them coming from the pond.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, Dave, abstract thought might be the effect of the printed book, and we all live on a frequency level, actually.
Like, or get screwed up by it.
Or get screwed up by it.
The synchronizing or synchronicity that it promotes. It's what you gauge, what you call time regarding.
Yeah.
And that's a false premise, too. So burn the books and get rid of the printing press and start having some fun. And begin this session if you're going to get to number five.
No, we're okay. We got a lot. There's no time. The only time is Scott's got to go to bed someday.
Yeah, and I'm going to eventually eat and do some work. And
Okay, well, anyways, we're learning. We learn and play. Okay, I'm going to...
guys, with that little interlude, you know what, I'm looking at my my battery monitor, and I think it's... Give me, 30 seconds. I'm going to change the batteries, okay?
Okay. So, Dave, I'm going to start with Jason Derulo in my head.
Yeah.
That's like Dave Worster, and we made...
Hey, you're going to say some good stuff right now, but that's okay.
He's not taking it. Okay. All right.
Switching the battery.
Hold on.
All right, I'll save it.
Good, Bob.
Yeah, it's valuable.
Excellent, Bob. That valuable stuff, it gets me going.
Okay, guys, we're good.
Okay, so we're going to start off with Jason Derulo in my head. And, Dave, we did this, about Worster. We did a great introduction. We introduced Ion to... Dave Worster, and I taped it. It's a really good conversation. But he kept, when I was talking about it, every now and then he'd go, in your head, Bob. That was his, so I'm thinking of that when I look at In My Head. So let's see if it's...
Well, it's a great tune, this one, actually.
Okay, so I will click on the one here. There might be a little feedback.
Let her rip, Tater Chip.
Okay, let's see. Here it comes.
YouTube, is that what's happening, Bob?
No, it's just me on another computer. I'm sorry.
Gappy.
Now I am doing that again. No.
Yeah. Well, last time you couldn't hear it happening, it was just happening on the tape recorder.
Oh, no, we could hear it. You could hear it.
Oh. Looks like the YouTube has a song.
Oh, okay, so I'm screwing it up, but...
No, it is.
Hey, we're going to have to start over again. I'm listening to it on another computer in another room, but my phone is picking it up. So we're pulling up here. I'd like to start over again.
Just a tip, with the YouTube slider loads on that page, you should press play and pause on all the tunes, and it'll load the whole thing. And then when you then play each one, you won't get the gapping as it's buffering and loading. Sorry, Ion.
I don't know about that, Dave. Here's my situation. I'm playing my computer that you're hearing. But I can't see the lyrics because of the sun, and so I have to. I'm on another.
Don't worry about lyrics. Just listen to them.
No, I'm into the lyrics. I don't. Music. I love the music. I have nothing to say about the music. It's good music.
No, this is a song. You really hear lyrics.
Hey, look, I'm into the lyrics, Dave. So So I go into the other room to look at the lyrics on my other computer, and my phone mic is open. So that's what you guys were hearing when I was playing.
Guys, here, I got a suggestion. I can probably play these tunes. I just can't blast them because I've got a baby just sleeping one floor up.
No. Look, guys, it's not
Bob, Bob, it's going to be easy. You can look at your lyrics. Tell me right now if you guys can hear this, okay? One sec.
Yeah.
You guys hear that?
sounds great.
It's very...
Okay, let's do that, guys. That's totally, like, feasible for me. I'm not going to wake my baby up playing that.
Okay.
Let's
Scott.
Bob,
listen, Scott. Why can't we play what I'm playing? It won't interfere you because I'll turn the sound off.
I think you're going to get too confused by this.
No, I'm not. I'm not, Scott. Hey, come on. This is silly. The point... Here's my...
Scott, play the music.
No, it's too low.
Computer.
It's
that's
too...
It.
It's
if it's too difficult, you try to do both.
Hey, Dave. No.
We're heading for take three, guys.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
Come on, Bobby.
No. I can't hear it, okay? I can't hear it. It's too low what Scott's playing. So here's what I'm saying. When I put on the computer, aside from the echo caused by the other computer, could you guys hear it? Could you hear it? It's louder than...
gapping.
Well, what's that? What's causing that?
I don't know.
Well, it's because I had the other computer on. The point is, I turn the sound off on the second computer. It doesn't cause the echo. So I'm suggesting we can edit all this out, but let me run this song again and tell me whether it's any good or not.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to put it on. Here we go. Is that loud enough?
Yeah. What's that?
Is that loud enough?
Yeah, the volume's good. It just keeps gapping, or is that just me hearing this?
That's what's interesting. When Scott plays, whoever's listening through a phone gets gapped.
I don't understand why it doesn't gap when we're speaking then. Well, it does actually right at the moment.
Hey, Ion, do you know why it gaps when we're not?
It's you going on the false premise of time. That's what really time really is.
Well, it's physical. You mean the printed press effect is making us think that it's gapping?
Oh, no. What you're thinking gapping is what time is.
So we're getting a little 2.3 second blah, blah, and then the next one, blah, 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 and then the next one, but normally we hear it as a smooth whole.
Yeah, is it?
What's that?
Not really smooth and whole.
No, normally we hear it smooth and whole, though.
No, but we don't.
We think we're hearing it smooth and whole.
You take, you smooth the peanut butter and make it one cohesive layer. But that's the whole premise.
Yeah, so Ian, you're saying because we're on a digital hookup, satellite, whatever this stuff is, fiber optics.
It's laying it out the way it really
is.
Like,
we're seeing the UFO, Dave.
Right. I like it.
Okay,
so. Let's embrace that.
Right, so what will. So it'll always. Does my recording interpret, I mean, Scott's recording make it have this gap thing? Does it, Scott, when you re-listen to it? Right, so we will put up with the gap thing, but that's not what's happening on the tape.
No, it is what's happening on the tape, but when people then hear it, they fill it in like smoothing the peanut butter.
Okay, so as long as it's good for the listeners, it doesn't matter for us. You know, it's approximate. But I'm asking, when you hear mine, it's louder than when we hear Scott's? I mean, you don't know how I'm hearing.
It's fine.
Right.
For me, it's
then we've done that. Scott can't wake his baby. So let's do it this way, since it's at least equal to Scott, right?
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, so we'll start now. We'll delete all that arguing or whatever. And
okay, so hold a second, then I'm going to start a new track. That's fucked up. Okay, one second.
Okay.
Okay, we're recording again.
Okay. This is Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo, In My Head.
First two. baby. I can see it going down. Going down. Guarantee it's going to happen. I like that, eh?
Yeah. It is.
Very good.
Interplay among guys, boys, competing with girls. They're always saying, hey, you get more out of me than him. You know what I mean? That's the very dynamic that causes friendship and breaks friendship in teen life.
Mm.
It's like a psychological archetype that is being sung here. It's like an Android Beams profile of what every teenager is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Every guy thinks that he's going to do better with the girl than the other guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's real, but it's so... I don't think Jason had anything to do with this song. This was just spit out by a bunch of psychologists, right?
Could have been, yes.
No,
might have been multiple
did.
Writers. I don't know who the exact writer is, but sure. Or they would have tried to apply psychology when they're thinking about it, I suppose.
But what is new to me... is it, and I go by the lyrics, you guys are good on the music, I'm good at the concepts. All of this, he's admitting, is in his head. When I dealt with this, when I was a teenager, nobody was going around saying it was in my head. This awareness of the psychology making the fantasy life, the will of the mind, is new for kids, I would think.
Kind of, although he simplifies his theme to some extent. He's basically saying, in his head, he's not awkward. In his head, he knows all the right things to say. But when he gets in the actual situation with another creator, it all falls to pieces.
Yeah.
But when he's creating on his own inside his head, it works out really great. So he loves how it goes down inside his head. So it's kind of a celebration of that, saying, well, at least I have my head. And, you know, I remember, Bob, you said years ago, masturbation is the thinking man's television. And he kind of reflects on that, too. He's like, you know what, I'm guaranteed I'm going to have fun. It's going to work out.
Yeah. When he's saying we're going down, he's talking about the sex act right there?
That's right, it's going down right now, so he's jerking off in bed or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. I almost didn't.
Yes.
I didn't get that, the subjective part, that this is all a fantasy. I thought it was about him being irritated by the other guy.
No. He's saying basically that he's 3-2-1 in it. He's saying, wow, man, you see the pickup lines. It's just flowing so good right now. Geez, but it never works out when there's actually people there. But boy, on my own. Fucking going down. It's great. So that's a wonderful song. Everyone can enjoy that.
Well, Ion, do you see 3-2-1-ing in those lyrics?
Well, is that the way you want to go at that, Bob?
No, Dave's pointing out the 3-2-1-ing as he understands it. I was wondering if you agreed with Dave.
Yes, and you rarely bite your tongue until you start speaking.
So the kid does. So he goes into the club and he metaphorically bites his tongue when he sees her with someone else. That's beginning to speak.
Well, but the trajectory that you're trying to lay out is that I can have more fun by myself than it works out for me when I am engaging with other human creators.
Exactly.
I didn't see that part. I just saw the competition aspect.
Well, but the competition is between Live and Memorex, Bob.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is Scott got anything to add?
Not particularly, no. I haven't really paid much attention to the lyrics in that song, to be honest with you. That's about the third time I've heard it, and it's a pretty good tune. I don't really have anything more profound.
Well, what struck me is it seems to be a whiny... There's a whiner... The timbre of these songs are similar. This whiny thing.
What, lamenting?
It's very much... It's very much a style. I would almost call it like a post-Usher style. That's a really popular style of R&B.
Yes, yes.
And it's not always totally to my liking necessarily, but it's really like a... I think Usher was maybe the first one to really sort of... Like, I always call it a kind of puppy dog.
Yeah.
Puppy dog sort of R&B.
It's teen beat Usherite. Teen beat Usherite.
Teen beat Usherite?
Usherite.
It's different. It's different than like the Michael Jackson or something, though, because it's just I don't know. There's just something really like sort of pleading and soft about it, and I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah,
it's hard on sleeve.
It's Beastie Boys.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
No. Again, Jason Derulo. Ah, but that's who it is. All right, he fucking rocks. Number four.
Oh, wait. No. So why are you bringing in a Beastie Boys? That's pretty. That's 20 years ago, and that was harsher than this.
That's right.
But it's a different time then than it is now.
So you're saying this is a replay of the Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. It's true. No, the production is really flashy. I would agree with Ion. And the intro, it's an excellent intro. He says, Jason Derulo, it's a nice, tasteful, personal, corporate branding. Introduce yourself. Get the people's attention. It's great.
But what is Beastie Boys like about that? I don't get that.
Yo, ladies
so
on the floor.
The fuck of the mind.
But that's in every hip-hop side. I don't know.
Well, okay. Yeah. Among others.
What did you say, Ion? It's something? You said it's...
Astroglide. For the fuck of the mind.
For the fuck of the mind.
Yeah. Greasing it up.
Yeah. Well, you won't get stuck in the fuck.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the function of theme music in general.
Well, no, this particular representation of it, there's other choices, but yeah.
Are you thinking of the lyrics when you say that, Astroglide?
No.
You're not thinking of the lyrics, you're talking about the
petroleum
sound.
Petroleum products that you use to lubricate body parts if you're not going to engage with vaginas.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what he's singing the praises of that.
No, but no. That comes into it.
Well, how does it come into it?
It's just a reference. Is that right, Ion?
It's an inference, yes.
Yes. No biggie.
Well, that remains to be seen.
That remains to be seen.
Take it all, baby. Take it all.
Well, you know what? This is. You know what? You know what's brilliant? And you're obviously very attuned. The penis theme totally happens in this top five. And when we go to number one, it caps it off with
right.
It's just this pure penis theme. So,
right.
So it's wonderful. Yeah, we're on track.
So this is the innocent. Cheese whiz version of the penis theme.
I don't know if I say it's totally innocent cheese whiz.
Well, this shows you, we'll see, males are more sensitive than females, but we'll get to that. But yeah, he's a little more sensitive and you'll see when you get to the number one, the woman is much more confident. She's like, all right, let's see what you got.
I know about Rihanna because when Madonna, in the election summer of 2008, she came to Maui and did a commercial, and she got a lot of coverage about it. She got mad at whoever was running, Obama and the other guy, John McCain, and she said she's going to run, and her vice president would be Rihanna. Rihanna. That was the first time I ever heard of her, but Madonna thought she was hip. So that's an image. See, when I see Rihanna, that's the image. That's how I first heard her. I will not, anytime I see Rihanna or hear about her, I will think of what Madonna said about her. Do you know what I mean? That's the electronic imprinting.
Yes. That's right. Word makes the market.
Yeah, and it's the that's the first time
I
ever
heard. And the market moves the meme.
Yes, the market moves the meme. So who is Jason Derulo? Who are these people? Is he a big hit?
I think he's known first as a R&B songwriter.
Oh, really?
I think he came up writing some other people's hits, and then.
Nice.
So he's a young guy. I think he's in his early 20s or something. I read something about him a week ago. I'm just trying to remember what it was, but he did write some songs for some other artists, I think. So.
Yeah.
You know what they all do? Ion, you brought it up, and Michael Jackson, who you brought up before, he did an amazing cover of "He Rocks in the Treetop All Day Long."
Rockin' Robin.
Yeah, tweet tweet. And that's definitely, all these songs are kind of tweets too, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a, hey, this week we're going ooh, doo, 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 and everyone's doing that this week, but it'll become cliche soon, and we'll have to find a new sound or new melody.
So we're like birds.
Kind of.
Didn't they say that the bird is a word?
Everybody's heard.
Yeah, when you say the market moves the meme, that's the bird is the word.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's also a dangled participle, but that's a sidebar.
So we're going into Tao Cruz. Who's he, Dave or Scott?
I don't know much about him. I think it's kind of like a Latin-ish R&B thing, I think.
Right, he does the vocals, and he's got Akon rapping, I believe.
I think so, Ludacris.
Ludacris.
Ludacris. On about 3,000 records.
Ludacris, the money.
It's the rough dog. It's Puff Dog. Let's
Doggy.
Get it hanging.
Puff Doggy.
Okay.
All right, so what's the one called Break Your Heart? And it's about as lightweight as an air freshener. Here we go.
I will click it, right? I'm starting it, right? You agree? You agree that I'm doing it? Okay, here we go. Starts up. It's spinning.
The manager's going to hurt you.
Oh, is that your, is the gap, are you hearing the gap or smooth on your end, Bob?
Oh, by the way, it's the gap. I think the last time I noticed, anytime someone spoke, it caused the gap.
Here it comes. You got nothing on Boxcar Willie.
Okay.
I can barely hear it. I'm filling in the gas.
Oh,
my
head. Why
is it
loud?
It's not even loud. It's just, I'm getting that gap effect like you guys.
Oh,
can.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Ion, he's soaking up all the content. No, it's not me. I'm not God. That's you, human. And you guys perceive time that way. It's your peanut butter sandwich. That's your thing. You created peanut butter, not us.
It's not. We don't have a dog in this song.
We don't have to issue with mold and peanut butter.
Puff or otherwise. Yeah. No point.
Hey, Ion, are you taking in the song? Can you fill in the gaps while we're hearing this? You think it's shite, eh? Okay, I'm open. That's right. You don't want to. Yeah, I understand. You don't want to wear this shit. All right.
Okay, aren't you guys following the lyrics? I might tear you apart. Told you from the start, baby. From the start.
It's fucking crap.
I'm only going to break. Well, let's try to hear the music. And I know karma's going to get me back for being so cold.
Well, he already knows it's not going to work out. It's shit in the video shit.
How did this make number four?
Isn't that, I don't know. I guess if they play it over and over and over enough that it just becomes number four.
That's a tail aspect.
Partially, eh? There's some kind of brief consensus, and then it'll drop to number 17. And...
Yeah. Your heart, are only gonna break, 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 break your...
Maria Farro, Piperoni, Rigatoni.
You know, we didn't discuss the imagery in the last song.
In the imagery in the last song in my head? Well, we did. We said, you know, we don't need to jump back to that. But
yeah.
Well, unless you wish.
The imagery of the last song is you can't beat our meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Break Your Heart. And so what...
And it did.
What's the archetypal... Everybody's going to get their heart broken, so he's playing on young kids worrying about their heart being broken.
Well, but it ain't going to work, and we can't get there from there, and you better listen to number five and just play with yourself, because nobody wants supposed to play with you.
Yeah, he's exactly saying, if you do play with me, it might be fun briefly, but I can tell you it's not going to work out, and you're going to be unhappy. I'm only going to fuck you up in the end. Yeah.
I'm only going
to... Well, No.
So it's safer to go to number five.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah.
So what do we say? Yeah, they got nothing on Boxcar Willie, that's for sure. Musically, it's a slowed-down Euro house, really bubblegummy. These are my little notes that I had when I first heard the video. Of course, it's just lots of women partying in clubs and on the boat with the vocalist.
Oh, okay, I just saw a bit of the lyrics, a bit of the imagery. Yeah. He's showing a party time, and he's saying that this is just today, and if you think this is...
That's right. You can go out and ride for me, and we'll have fun, we'll have sex, we'll have a little bit of partying, but yeah, no, I'm not there for you at all.
Yeah, this is the woman is...
Or I'm there for you briefly only, that it gratifies me, but yeah, so don't expect anything more.
And don't think that a relationship with you is going to cause me to engage in privacy.
Yeah, McLuhan said in the 60s, by the 60s, the mechanical bride of the radio movie era, when you got into the TV era, the women became expendable jujubes. You know, candy jujube, expendable.
Well, so this Vivian Leigh wasn't.
No, that's the mechanical bride era. That's way back in the before the 50s. So in the 50s and in the 60s, women in the teen world were expendable jujubes. Or even in the adult world.
Well, then you become Marilyn Monroe, and you can't stand yourself, so you go.
Right. But this is what used to piss Zappa off, that the lyrics are always revolving around the same themes.
Right? Yes.
And that's not true, though. We had good songs the last show. Where
no, and I was just going to say that, Bobby. They can take those themes and do it really tritely this way, or they can be fun with it.
Yeah, Zappa was always wrong about that.
I'm sorry, I can't hear Ion here saying this.
You go Bobby.
Oh, yeah, you said Bobby. He's going out of my name.
But Bobby.
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 Bobby. Hey, so, yeah. And they've gone off the chart, but evacuated the dance floor, and somebody call 911, shot a burning fire on the dance floor, is a way better fucking version of something like this, and actually a different theme too, but just with the Euro do kind of sounds. Yeah, this one's shit, but I've already said that. Sorry, I kind of dislike this.
Dave, Scott was going to say something. He had a probing thought.
Just your point about Zappa. I mean, Zappa was always kind of wrong about that, actually.
Oh, okay, go into that.
Talking about pop song lyrics and stuff. Well, I mean, it's just kind of what Dave said. I mean, you can take the most trite theme and do something very brilliant and interesting with it. I mean,
B-Fart, right.
Well, B-Fart, I don't think, really did probably stick to the trite. Or
no, he didn't. No, he's saying B-Fart.
But I'm saying you can do, like, what people would call really trite pop music and do something really artistic and brilliant and wild with it, and it can still be, like, basic boy meets girl song. I mean, I don't know. I just hate this idea that love songs are lame.
Wiseman say. Only fools rush in. But I can't help falling in love with you. See, and that make you want to go vomit, but it's still a love song.
Right, so the thing is, what Scott said about Zappa, like, Zappa was what... He liked Dylan, he liked what was happening in the mid-60s, but he critiqued from the 50s perspective. He thought he was still in the 50s, so to speak, when he said that kind of stuff, right, Scott? Yeah, when he's talking about the Love Boy lyrics, that loosened up after Dylan, and he probably didn't mind that, but when he did criticize the teen market, he would think in terms of the 50s music.
I mean, he's just too firm in his belief about pop songs. I love Zappa, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Well, it was all about the belief. It was never about the music.
All about the what?
Belief, not about the music.
Are you saying for Frank, or that's what he was criticizing?
For Frank, that's who we were talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he didn't like the beliefs implied.
He didn't even like his own music.
Well, that's temporary.
Except for Let Me Take You to the Beach.
Yeah, you know, he liked his music, Ion. It's just that he kept moving on. And he didn't want to keep listening to it.
So I guess then practice does not indeed make perfect.
Right. And that was no problem. Frank made great music. When he does, you know, Watermelon Easter Hay is a great YouTube, you can't say he doesn't like that song.
Right.
See, what you're saying, Ion, and we talked to Zappa about this, through Ion, he was forever driven and never stopped, never was satisfied with what he'd made.
Yeah, but he had the hunger to keep going, to get that little extra, oh, I love it.
Yeah, to keep going. So is that what you mean, Ion?
Yes.
Did Tchaikovsky say, you know what, I'm glad I wrote Nutcracker Suite and I wouldn't change a note?
Did he say that? You're saying said that?
No.
But he doesn't feel it.
But see, the way you say, Ion, he didn't like his music, that does not mean, the way you say it, the way we're taking it now, which you just agree with, that he was just kept creating. He wasn't going to stop.
It was never done, and it was never complete. His was never complete.
Right, but that's not a problem for him.
No, and his attempt at completion was fun.
Yeah.
It was, and it just kept going more and more. But see, it was more about the view of the engagement of the music, more the view of the music rather than the enjoyment of the music.
Right. He was
trying to get a dog in the fight always.
Yeah. He didn't like the attitude, the environment implied, and that's what you mean by belief. He didn't like the belief systems that of those singing.
The very thing that he was engaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot of that ambiguity with many artists. Say they feel that the material they're doing is beneath them, or the market, or the audience is beneath what the kind of music they want to make. But these are all ultimately mental limitations, really, aren't they, based on illusion?
So now the best you get is what Simon says is okay.
Yeah, on American Idol. That's American Idol. But you're saying that Zappa was bugged, allergic to the belief systems and cultural thinking, political thinking around the performers.
The performances, yes.
Yeah. And even the rhythm, you mean the performances, you mean the beat, the political implications of the beat.
Absolutely. It was always some underling or undercarrying motif that had to be poked at.
Right, so he was requiring musically correct environments.
Musically astute ramifications.
Yeah.
Which is the part he never stuck with, because once you get to your joy, you should be able to do that and continue doing that. Well, he never got that. It was always the next thing. And that's perfectly all right, but then you take a classic like Vestal Goodman, who got where she was and stayed right there till the day she laid her body down, and it just got better and better and better, and she never moved an inch. And it just got better and better and better. Because in that place of synchronicity was the place where you are, you can define and redefine, making that same dynamic more clear, more pure, more delicious, without having to jump from ship, to figure out which was the next last ship that could be the next ship that may get you the ship that doesn't cause the war or stops the war you're in right now.
Right, so I think Scott Ion is agreeing with what you were saying in your criticism of Zappa.
Okay.
That's what I take was Ion's pointing out. What you were saying, Ion's elaborating on it.
Right.
Yeah, aren't you also saying, Ion, that this particular form of music and lyrics that she had basically took her to the place where she wanted to be and achieved her joy, so there was no more searching after that?
And then it became more and more and more delicious as... She still had, you're talking about Vestal, she still had contrast, but the contrast didn't make any difference. It didn't undo the fabulous place of the engagement of what she found joyful in the engagement of her particular style or brand of music.
And you're saying Zappa didn't get that, and that's
never.
Why, and that's why he committed suicide.
Well,
never. What about when he plays live? Sometimes I saw him live. Sometimes he looked like he was genuinely having fun in the moment.
With a tab and a half, most people can.
Yeah, I
thought he was drug free.
Oh, Ion has revealed to us. If we believe
drug
Ion,
free, yeah, drug free means that his drug free meant that he didn't pay for them.
Well, I did see him take a toke on stage once. An audience passed him a joint, and I was quite shocked that he would actually take it and nail it. Also, just who knows what people high-end you from the audience.
No.
But this back in the mid-70s.
Well, but he didn't inhale. It was okay.
Okay, but he blew it.
I did not have relations with that woman.
You know, Dave, when I talked to Zappa through Ion, you know, last year, that's what came out, that Zappa did drugs more than people, that more than he would allow be let on.
Right.
And
he
I don't know if that's
stone.
True. That could be, that's Ion. I don't
well,
know.
That makes sense. He was an intelligent guy. I'm sure he could handle getting high.
No, he made a point saying he didn't do drugs. He said, I did marijuana 10 times when I was young and it gave me a headache, so I never did it. And he was very blatant. You see, he campaigned against drugs, in a sense. He warned people. And if he was taking drugs, that's a little hypocritical. And Zappa had an image of not being hypocritical. But if Ion's true, then Ion blew the lid on Zappa.
Well, didn't you say everyone will be on whatever side of the law suits them?
Of course. So you're saying that. Is the musical dissatisfaction not getting there a factor in his suicide? Ion?
Whoa, I mean, we heard you. We don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Okay, Zappa died. Every death's a suicide. He didn't live forever. So what caused his suicide?
It was the fastest path to his joy. He was done. He couldn't get there anymore. Nobody was listening. Nobody cared. And it was easier not to be in the physical, especially drug-free. So it was like, done. So done. Good. See ya.
Well, he didn't have huge success, immediately, but in the long run, he's sort of respected, and I don't know if he wanted that, and that may not have satisfied him, because he wasn't alive, and he actually said, I don't want to be remembered.
Exactly.
So if he, but you were saying...
If you didn't know me when I was alive, why in the hell would I want you to be remembering me?
But you were saying that he left because no one was listening.
Right.
So that means that affected him, that no one was listening to him.
Of course. Same way you get up and say, oh, I don't do drugs, and then you see him token on stage, but man, please.
No, he didn't token on stage. Maybe
one. I was amazed that he would do it and even put some stranger's joint in his mouth, too, but then I thought, wow, he's a tough guy. But the audience loved it. No one thought, oh, he's a druggie. It's just more like he's engaging.
Yeah, he's putting it on. But it would be...
But he didn't inhale. That's right.
You know, I think I spoke to Jerry Fialka about this, what Ion said, and Jerry said, yeah, I heard rumors from some of the band members that Zappa wasn't as pure about it. So Jerry, I don't think, denied it. But you're saying that he didn't care. No, he didn't care, but he did care, and then he was done because no one was listening, and he was incomplete.
Yeah, OMG, what was the BFD?
Right. Now, the BFD is he did make the greatest music in the history of humanity. That's where I stand, even though he was incomplete.
If you filter it from a McLuhan-esque point of view, okay.
No, that might be a factor, but there's nothing greater when you put on a Zappa album. It's way better than anybody else's stuff, or especially live concert. And you know, people I know they don't know that much about Zappa. Then they see Zappa in concert on YouTube, they are amazed. And that's just a glimmer of it. Mm. So I'm all for people being incomplete if they make better music. Now, nobody else here would agree with me on that. Dave's not into Zappa that much. God isn't. But I stand by what I like. I may not know anything, but I know what I like.
No, you like what you know.
Yeah. I was interested in Zappa's attitude. That appealed to me, probably. That's another reason why I like the music.
Mm. Great follower of hypocrites, are you?
Yes, I've always admitted I was a hypocrite.
Good. Well, then it's synchronicity. That's all right.
Yeah.
And we don't mind Zappa either after the first 45, 50 seconds. It's delicious.
Oh, you don't like the beginning?
After that, then it kind of gets somewhere, but, you know.
Right. No, that's true. His songs start off oddly, wouldn't you say, Dave? Some of them?
Oddly. Mm.
Well, isn't that what you just meant? You don't like the beginning, and then you like it later. Into the song.
Yes.
Well, I would agree that they start oddly.
We jumped off of number four. So basically what you're saying is that number four should have never made the top five. Is that the point here?
Yeah. No, there's a market for that kind of vapidness.
Bob?
Are you there, Dave and Scott, or did you get disconnected? I think they got disconnected. Us going into Zappa, it was just too much.
I understand.
So, I will stop and what we call Scott. That's funny. Okay, I'll just put you on hold and get the number.
Hello?
I guess we got disconnected.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. I was just sending an email. I was like literally just sitting here, and then everything went dead, and I couldn't even get a dial tone.
Okay, let me just put on. Are you there, Ion?
We be.
Yeah, I think.
Sound terrible, though, Bob, right now. It sounds so distorted.
Yeah, that's maybe this. I will call you back.
Okay.
See where that works better, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so are you there, Ion?
We be.
So then I click this again. Is that better? Okay, I got the wrong number? So there you are, Ion, I called it. I'm going to call him back. You there?
We'll get you some background music so you can tell whether we are or not, Bob.
Okay. Did you hear the fax sound?
No.
Okay, it became a fax sound, so now I'll bring Ion back in. Okay, so there's Ion.
Okay, try and get Dave.
Okay.
Okay, one sec.
You're going woo at the song? What was that?
We'll get you there.
Some folk?
Hey, Bob?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Dave's there now.
Okay. The Frank Palin controversy. We won't bring that up again.
What
quoted song three? It was Frank. And the last thing I heard was Ion say inhale, and then you got cut off.
Did you hear me and Ion comparing, discussing Frank's incompleteness? Did you hear some of that?
Part of that, but then I got cut off when you said Frank inhale.
Okay.
I mean, inhale.
Ion, our interaction knocked that out.
Certainly.
So what was it about it that caused that? What were we doing to ourselves?
Well, you were disconnecting from your connection, so it disconnected.
Well, weren't you disconnecting from Zappa?
No, we don't care.
So he's blaming me, Dave. I disconnected over
monkey
the,
business.
Over the
monkey
Zappa,
business.
Over the Zappa concept.
It probably was when you hit the green button, Bob. That's probably
yeah,
most.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't. So... So Scott, where are we?
Number three.
No, like, so we'll delete half of... What are we going to... How's this going to sound if we get cut off in the middle?
I don't know.
Scott can manage these things. He's Chippy Chopper.
You can say,
with this piece of celery, it's on the wrong sink. Will you be able to use that in the salad? Don't worry, he can do it. You just stay in the living room, and he'll bring it out, and it'll be great.
Okay, so we'll just let it cut off, and that's where it cut off, and that's that, and keep it in there. Right?
Yeah, yeah, and then we'll come back or something, yeah, yeah.
Are you taping now?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay, so I will go in the other room and start the third song.
Okay, it's Train is the band.
And who are they, Dave?
Hey Soul Sister.
But who's Train?
The band is called Train.
I know, Dave. You're laughing for no reason, Ion. You're misinterpreting. I will continue with my questioning.
The band is called Train. It's all cleaned up now.
Yeah. So, Dave, who is Train? There's nothing funny here, Ion. I'm just asking to get a little story.
That's insightful. I just assumed train noun, but you're right. Who are we training? It could be, yeah, shit. Okay, I'm sorry. They have more depth than I assumed.
Yeah, no, what is train? What, you know anything about them?
They had a hit. What was their hit, Scotty, about 10 years ago? Didn't they have a big hit?
I don't know.
It was a nice song. You know what? I don't have the Google stuff and that right in front of me. I guess you don't either.
I can look it up, but I've never...
It was a lovely song. I remember. I quite liked it. I would say that would be in 1998. They had a massive hit. So they would have been probably in their mid-20s. So they'd be heading into their 40s now. So they need a hit. They got to make some money if they're going to still be on a label. So they're going to have to do a Sugar Ray-style song. And that's what they've done. And they've done a... decent enough job of a feel-good type song. You'll see.
Right, and they seem to be Scandinavian. Bjorklund, Armand Iverson, Lind, Espen, and Mona.
No, they're San Francisco. I've got my Billboard book now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The song Dave must be talking about is Drops of Jupiter.
Yes, lovely.
I don't know it.
And if you heard the chorus, you go, I remember that one. I can't even remember what it was, but it made them... A band?
I don't think I would know it.
Oh, yes, you would.
That kind of stuff in 2001. So.
Oh, yes, you would.
Maybe. I don't know.
And do you agree that...
I absolutely hate this song. No, it's just terrible. Play it.
Okay, so you would agree that Armand Iverson Bjorklund has something to do with this song or band?
Would I agree?
Yeah, these are the names underneath the lyric page.
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess I can look at that.
But that's the song. It's not the one. No, it wasn't. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I was just going to sing it, and then I realized it's not right, so I won't.
All right, so we're ready to go, and I hope this is a little louder. Here we go.
The guy
feels funny. Hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
I like that. big gap, okay. But no biggie. You sing along if you can so I can sort of tell what part it's in.
Once drag mine, like me, gave my direction, a game show love connection.
Need that after being in the music industry. You need a girl to give you direction. Wants to be Madonna, you know, marijuana.
There
we go. Doesn't want to miss a single thing you do.
Hey. Cut a rug, watching you snow. What I need.
Drive some sales for Mr. Mister.
Yeah. We all want that.
Broken wings. They're broke, you know, you gotta make money. Wings got all the royalties.
please record your manual.
Storm and its furies raise today.
Hi, no one's here to take your call right now. Please leave us your name and number, and we'll be back as soon as possible.
The tone, please record your message.
Every day it will brighten all the way. It will keep on
the...
Hey! I can't get Scott. I get his answering machine.
Oh, shit. And he's our man taping it, too.
Right. So he, maybe his battery went dead or something broke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I will, I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm going to go back and try to call him. And you just wait. If we never get him, we'll call you. It's an abortion.
So I should hang up though, right?
Yeah, you hang up and then I'll...
Yeah, I'm going to run next door and just get a banana. I'm starved. I haven't eaten much today at breakfast, basically, and I've been working all day.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll be back for sure in 3-4 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, talk to you shortly. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, how y'all? We get a little something brighter.
I can't get Scott. He seems to have disconnected completely. He didn't get the voice. I'll keep talking.
Play him a little sunny side. That may help him.
Went into a negative criticism and we disconnect the electric grid, just like when I was complaining about Zappa, or we're dealing with Zappa.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, it's starting to irritate me a little bit, but
I think it's the ion factor. You got to be the whole system is super sensitive with ion, and then it responds faster. It becomes alive and doesn't like things for some reason.
Right.
Okay, I'll bring in. Ion is playing a song about being on the sunny side of your life, so here it is. At least Ion is keeping himself entertained.
Okay, I'll try it.
Okay. Oh, hey, Scott.
Poor Lazarus.
Poor Lazarus.
Physical
here, ion, then what you're bugged about will be answered.
Yeah. Indeed. Post haste.
That's it. So that's what. This has happened in other on casual.
Yeah.
This happened.
Dead or alive. Oh, Lazarus.
Wait, who's singing this? Is this a Fosso Law song?
No. This is Poe Lazarus by James Carter and the Prisoners.
Okay. Well, you know, we're getting this on tape.
Good. That's what I hope.
Yeah, we're getting all this mixture of, and I am explaining what's going on, you know.
No one named Lord, Lord, I know one name. Shot Lazarus.
I'm listening. The whole confusion and breakup and all that will be on mine.
Right, okay.
So it's turning into be very interesting. Like, we've had this thing problem on cash flow, and Ion says we're doing it to ourselves, but he actually explained it clearly just now, 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
Pretty interesting. So it's not, if you believe that Ion is not woo-woo, it is, all this is happening because we're engaging with non-physical, and that's a pretty interesting situation. But let me bring him back in. Okay, we're back, Ion.
Okay.
Now, Ion, Scott, Ion has been playing music. He's being a DJ the last 20 minutes playing and commenting on it, and I would blip in a note. But you're going to go on hold and call Dave. He'd be ready by now if you can get him.
Okay, let me try.
So if you can't get him, you can come back, right?
Last time I could. Last time I just got, like, put into the void for some reason.
But that's because we got non-physical here. Yeah. A little bit of anomalies will be happening.
Okay, one sec.
So, Ion, we're actually producing a pretty interesting tape that'll be on our site. What we're talking when they're not taping will not be on their site, but our whole thing is being explained by you for the first time. You with me on that, Ion?
We are. We got one coming for you.
A song or a disconnect?
A song.
Okay.
You're going to like it.
See, so he called Dave, and Dave was not there. The phone was busted in a void.
Okay, I think we're all there.
All right, Scotty was getting the brown party liquor. He's got it. He's back. Check the baby. She's doing fine.
Hey, Dave, I suggest when you have time in the next couple of months, listen to this whole thing, Dave. My version, that'll be on my site, because Ion's been explaining why this disconnection's happening. When you bring non-physical in, he says, Dave, Scott, and Bob's power increases. And so when I was irritated by the discussion by Zapper or whatever, or when Scott was pissed off the song, he shuts the system down.
Yes.
Isn't that neat? We got all this on tape.
It is. And you know what? The thing that I thought was going to be the song that Train had, it was. It's the one, tell me, do you never, never shining star? And you never, remember that one?
Jesse's
right. Back on a burning door, so tell me, do you never, huge. So they would have made a lot of money. They would have gotten the record company's hopes all up. They would have been treated really well for a while. Everyone would have liked to talk to them and hang out with them and invite them to parties. And now they're getting older, and it's been a while, and fuck, they got to get regular jobs. So, like, for fuck's sake, let's get a hit. And that's the cloying aspect of the song. And maybe it's all totally innocent, but yeah, I get the same vibe that you get off it. It just feels kind of cloying.
Oh, I see. They're needy. So, Ion, their neediness comes through the song.
Absolutely. And that works great if you're making bread, but if you're trying to make a hit, then it begins, it's too much kneading going on.
So, well, they made a hit because the kneading...
They did, number three.
Yeah, the people who like or resonate with neediness, that's what they're in, they like that cloning. They feel, they resonate with that.
Well, so that's what happens when you knead, and you knead, and you knead. But see, if you're constantly kneading, even if you make the hit, you're still needy.
Right.
Yeah, it's never going to fulfill.
But see, Ion's playing between K-N-E-A-D and N-E-E-D-Y.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, Ion, how accurate would the charts be in terms of actually charting what is the most popular music?
Well, wait. Popularity has to engage with the least connected ones on the planet, so who cares?
With the what connected ones?
Least connected.
The least connected ones on the planet.
Are involved in being resonant with others?
No, are the ones who choose by popularity the music that they'd like to hear.
Music is played and heard, you know, by everyone, like, you know, all over the place, thousands of times, you know, a week or whatever. I mean, so is there a way to actually gauge if a top five chart...
We're not controlled by commerce. Yes, Scott, you're saying if it was not controlled by commerce and all the ins and outs of that, what would be popular is what you're asking.
Lady Gaga.
Kind of. I'm saying, does it actually reflect reality in the sense that...
Nope.
You know, I've never listened to these songs before. I know lots of other people who haven't, but obviously some people do. But Maybe the most popular song last week was actually, well, Lady Gaga would be an example of someone who would obviously be, yeah, like there's no doubt about it. You go anywhere and you'll hear Lady Gaga's songs.
But only as a mistake. Only as a mistake.
Well, what's the mistake here?
It got leaked on a YouTube.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
It went from zero to hero instantly.
So you're saying that pop music does register accurately what people like?
Well, no, people don't know what they like. They just get exposed, and then all of a sudden they resonate with it or not. Now, if you're talking about a non-physical inflection of it, then Lady Gaga's the example. But all this dribble that you've laid out here so far is just a poor man's working job trying to make a living.
Yes. Whereas you feel she's a little more inspired and sparkly?
Hell yes, otherwise...
Hell yes, sparkly fucking flames, baby!
Nobody else would pick up on that shiny and bite the hook and loop it. And hang on for more, and then decide that they indeed are monsters.
But Scott's saying if there was, you see, Scott, these songs are popular because there's a market for it. There's people who resonate with them.
They're by default.
It works
well, yeah,
in the car.
It's by default, but I guess I'm saying, like, there's no, the charts are really just kind of one type of marker. I mean, though, you know, they're marking
an archetypal marker
on a radio station.
Good for you. Kudos to you, you little McLuhanite, you.
Look at you. Look at you.
Okay, so let me phrase a slightly different question then, but it's maybe getting better at what I'm trying to get at. What is actually the most popular song right now?
Telephone.
What?
Okay, Telephone.
Telephone.
But I'm including what song is played the most last week anywhere? Are you sure it was Telephone, or could it have been Happy Birthday?
No, it wasn't.
You know what I mean? Like,
no,
like
no,
I'm,
no.
I, I'm trying
trails.
To be on this constructive
happy
time.
Happy trails to you. That was the most played song.
Where? Yeah. Nobody heard that. Where the hell was that played?
But nobody heard this shit, and it's on the top five, so what you gonna do? Mine stands as good as yours.
Okay. What do you mean? Well, where is Happy Trails played?
Everywhere, Bob.
We're stuck in time, so we think that these songs are the hits right now, but it's there have been many nows of many hits.
Happy Trails is the biggest song among all the worlds, from World 2 to World 1650. You're saying?
Last week,
yeah. We're getting the international, the intergalactic, interparallel world charts with us.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it does make sense. Or I would have said something like Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. I mean,
big
you know
hit.
What I mean? Like, that was probably played last week at 3 million weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, can you name a few other recent favorites like
Ella Fitzgerald?
Which song?
Pick one, any of it. Ella.
Let's do it.
What about
Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered?
I that is big.
Careful bringing up Frank. You're starting to cause
He wasn't even accepted in this world. How could he be intergalactically expirable?
If we don't judge it by just this world, there are many other worlds. You add up the fans in those worlds, Frank would be at the top.
There's four.
Yeah, no, Frank.
There's four. Four fans in the other worlds.
In all the other worlds combined, there's Bob and three of his friends. And they're all in Jobstown, so don't worry.
Keeping it busy.
Yeah, shiny. Bing, bing, bing. Bing to you. Bing to you. Bing to you.
Now, how about this? Ion, what about all this stuff that Bob had gotten with Frank Zappa hanging out with Marshall McLuhan? What was up with that?
Yes, they were lovers.
That was so that was one of the four?
Yes. And Mary hosted a sleep-in. It was great.
A sleep-in. Not a sleepover, a sleep-in.
Yeah. Who said? Did you say Mary, Ion?
Yeah.
Okay, great. No, you can't play with Ion, Dave. You start getting cheeky.
You can't play with Ion?
Well, if you get cheeky with him like you're doing there, he'll get cheeky back. Like he said yes.
That's good.
That's good. That's right. I was just going to say that. I mean, Ion can get the satanic voice going. Not that one, but it can get pretty evil sounding.
We're laughing. We're here with Satan, and he'll be taking your calls right after the commercial break.
What? How is it? We can't even say it, so why would you want to? But Metatopheles. The way Sarah Palin would say it is how we say it.
So, Scott.
Hey, Sarah, she's Sarah Palindrome backwards is harass, and that's her job.
Yeah.
She just going rogue, boys. It's all right.
That's the name of her book, Dave. You don't know. It's growing rogue.
Well, we're channeling Ion.
Yes. It's three people channeling.
No, we don't channel. Sorry. Get your terminology and lingo straight, and it'll help.
English is all right. English is
yeah.
Okay.
This ain't no channeling, Dave. This is large. That's why we got three people enlarging Ion.
That's a much more empowering. Yes.
What'd you say, Ion?
Let the brown liquor party flow. Liquor flow.
Well,
right.
I am drunk.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's another
brown thing. Party liquor.
Yeah, this is a. Hey, Dave, you got that from Ion. Ion brought that word in the leg.
I know, he's with the people, and it's affecting the people. It's become a popular meme real fast.
In order to form a more perfect union. Oh, wait, that's a different show.
That's cash flow.
That's right. Yeah. 4 score and 7. 4 fathers, 4.
I had the quadrophenia, Dave. You just tape him over, he'll suddenly become another show.
Oh, Bob, I know what let's do. Let's do the entire FDR speech again. You want
to? No, don't do that. He did do that, Dave.
All 47.
Right off the cuff, he did the whole, fear, do not fear, fear, whatever it is. Fear is the greatest fear of all fears. He did that just like. Anyway, so Scott, I want to. Like, Scott's trying
fear
to.
Fear has
that.
Nothing to fear but people not fearing itself.
Yeah, so Scott.
It's gibberish, but it might actually be some.
Yeah, let me address Scott, because it's a good question. See, these songs that we're listening to are popular, but then you could say payola comes into it and all that manipulation, but they, regardless, the people, some people like it, right? So there it is. And it's probably more kid stuff, so we're not appealing to, like the songs we had last time. They were interesting, the garbled quadraphenic lyrics. We're not getting any of that today.
Smoothed out this time, hasn't it? I know it's gone very smooth this week.
Yeah. But
guave.
Right. But Scott is saying, is asking, could we determine what would be popular if there wasn't manipulation going on?
If the world was a radio station, literally,
what would be the number one song?
If every time you heard a song in any place, you heard it in a bar, you heard it in a restaurant, you heard it in the supermarket, you heard it on your iPod, could you actually take this, determine if the world was one big radio station, what is the song that is most played? And I think Ion did give an answer. I mean,
Happy Trails.
No, that was last week. But the one most popular all would be Ethel Merman, Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Now, how's that one go?
I find that hard to believe.
Everything's coming up, sunshine and lollipops.
He's got it. That's Ethel Merman. He's doing it. I've seen the song.
Yes.
Yeah, but okay.
That's the way she does it. I suspect a little self-promotion going on because of our Melting Titanium, we mash up 5 songs. We don't play them, but we imagine. We start the show saying, okay, you're hearing Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell, Looking for a City, Everything's Coming at Roses, and The Last Resort, all at the same time. That's how we begin. So I see Ion promoting his own. He likes that song. He put it in there. He says that Ethel Merman was a parallel worlder and pretty enlightened and that energy. So Ion, you're saying, are you guys all there? So Ion, if you're not promoting Melting Titanium, you really are saying that Everything's Coming at Roses is popular this week in all the worlds.
Certainly.
Well, I guess that's why you picked it. I mean, you're the one who suggested it for Melting Titanium. Well, how's Stairway to Heaven doing? Does that ever get any worse?
Not so much.
Well, you're sort of getting the older songs. What is the most recent song that is popular in the Parallel World Survey you're doing?
Bad Romance.
Oh, Lady Gaga's doing well. Okay. How about one between, you know, I associate Elvis Fitzgerald 40s and 50s. Between the 50s and now, what song is big occasionally in the Parallel Worlds?
Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a heavy song, right, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Very
heavy. That's gospel.
Yeah. So it's almost like the most banal common denominator Scott songs. Those kind of banal, like, you know, Happy Trails. They're good, but they're so capital C cliche that they speak the Esperanto among the worlds.
Right, yes. Right. Well, at least you don't want to go vomit after you hear them.
Yeah, we
just
these are such bad songs. This is testament. We're knocking out the grid every time we do one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, Scott.
Okay,
I'm glad we went
from 5 to 1. I'm glad we went. If we'd went 1 to 5, we'd have gone to the beach.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we go to...
The next one is Bob.
Okay. Who is this Bob guy, Dave?
It's Scott
Bob Marshall. He's on alternate side.
Bob Marshall.
he's a cross-section of different timelines.
But what does the guy mean? It's B.O.B. Is there some acronym or something? Ignore Ion. Sometimes he's laughing for reasons we would not know. Ignore him, Dave. Do not be distracted. Stay on point here. What the heck is the B.O.B.?
It goes back to Yakko, Wacko, and Bot.
What is Bob, Dave? Does you or Scott know who this guy is? Oh, we knocked him out again. Oh, is that you, Dave? No, that's I. Jesus. Okay, I'll put you on hold. Here we go.
I'll go back to Man of Constant Sorrows.
Okay, good. We blew it out again, Scott. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I know it's going to be a late night, but it's worth it. You're experiencing something with the non-physical.
Okay, let's link, man, because it's getting late for me.
Yeah, we'll go through these quickly. Hey, Ion, we're waiting. Everything's cool.
Okay, so I'm going to get Dave.
Okay.
The place where I was born and raised.
The place where he was born and raised.
Yeah.
Get this. C-O-N-T-N-E-T-I-N. Woo!
Hey, Dave, this is going to be...
The guy on playing piano was making woo!
Dave, this is going to be the most popular Ionic performance. I mean, while you guys are disconnected and gone, Ion is playing music, he's being a DJ. It's all on the final recording. It's pretty
neat. Oh, you've got it? You're recording too?
I'm recording all the messy stuff, you know, everything.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty... And Ion is singing along these old blues songs or whatever they are. That's what he's listening to. Okay, can we go on to the... You're not going to tell me who Bob is, Dave.
I don't know. Where's Scott?
I don't really know either.
Don't worry, Bob. You can look that up later. Well, we don't know now unless you have internet. Let's not get bogged down. Let's just say...
I got
Bob
you.
And,
yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
It's Bob. B.O.B.
Yeah.
B.O.B., yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice song, Bob. I don't know if it's like you would want it to be like your song, like the Bob. Like you wouldn't like totally identify with it, but it's cute.
Okay, so Jade, Ion.
It's Bob in Hawaii, Bob.
Very good. Is
Bob
Ion
on the beach?
Is Ion
Bob
stopped?
On the beach? That's what it is.
That's the Android
Bob
meme.
On the beach
and nothing on you. That's what it's called. Nothing on you. That's me.
Just a little, yeah, don't even need sunscreen.
That's me and Carolyn, nothing on you.
Yeah.
Okay, Ion, are you there? You've turned it off? Everything's ready?
Well, yeah, we got through the soggy bottom boys, so now we're moving on. Now we're ready for number two on the pit pop charts to heaven.
Okay, I'll just play
Boldy up. And not too boldy.
Or baldy.
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 Well, we're going to get to baldness. We'll come up the topic. So it was a very resonant night. Love doing this stuff with the Ion.
Yeah, and he said body.
We love being done.
Yeah.
He did. He said B-A-W-D-Y. Body. B-A-W-D-Y. Not baldy.
Yeah, baldy.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Okay, so this is a body song.
Yeah.
Here we go. It's spinning. It's going to start any second.
Beautiful girls all over. Beautiful girls.
It could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you, Dave.
Yep.
Nothing on you, Dave.
Ignore the other gods. You're the real one.
I'm going to sing to Dave. Dave might say hi, and I might say hey.
You know what? Since you recognize that I recognize you're a god, I think we should get together.
Yeah. You're trying to save the physical forever. Let's get together.
And then our only issue will be who's pitching and who's catching.
Oh.
It's our only issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm getting all this Ion effect.
Yep.
All over the world.
He has a few parts. That's obviously the one distinct part. There's a few other sections, but again, I'm getting now about 80% silence.
Right. It's your commentary that's more important, Dave.
Beautiful girl, over the world, when you're on the telephone. Nothing on you, baby.
Nobody here. Nothing on.
It certainly is expressing Dobbstown sentiment.
It is. We can all flirt with Carolyn. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. You should see Ion trying to get Carolyn away from
me. We got nothing on Bob, so it's all going to be okay. Bob's not worried too much. You go ahead and flirt.
Anyway, my lyrics, my battery died on the other computer, so I'm not seeing the last few lyrics. They looked interesting. I'm going to check this out. I might claim it.
Yeah. Beautiful Bob all over the world.
Look at all the girls.
Kid-friendly Bob.
Yeah. That's me walking to the beach. It is. It's Bob walking to the beach. Are you there, Ion?
Maybe.
So, what are the ancient Heberloids have to
say for all this? Goya Shakup.
Oh, yeah, Vay, Goya Vay.
I Chival.
Is this the rap? This is the rap section? I'm barely hearing any of this.
Right.
Bob, you're hearing this? You're not hearing these gaps.
You're not hurt. It was not. You're not hurt.
I'm not missing too much?
No. It's a nice song, but I don't know. I guess it's if someone's listening to this, the banter is what might appeal to them or not. And so we're going to have to do the songs through your place next time. Or Scott's place?
If you want to elect me to give it a shot the next time, I'll do it again. I'll set up the speaks in here, and I don't mind trying to play back.
Yeah, I think it's louder than my computer.
So I've heard this song once or twice, like today, and it's, instantly hooky. It's a pretty melody. It's a nice melody. It's fine. And I don't know what the rap does, but it's all obviously effective, and it's number two, and it's a feel-good song. What do you think? These are a lot of relationship songs, most of these, aren't they?
what do you define what you say you mean by relationships?
Somehow people try to have some sense of mental compatibility or a sense that they're happy with themselves and happy with the other person or where they stand in that field.
Or why masturbation is the coitus of choice.
Right. So you think it'll be number one next week and that it's five?
Lord, suffering cat, yeah.
You see, Ion's a bit old-fashioned. He's old school. He's got...
No. This ain't even school.
That's right. You like Lady Gaga. You're up on stuff. You like Lady Gaga.
You can't get there from there. There's just nothing original. It's all rote. It's all been done. It's all new. It's remix of rehash. And I mean, at least something extemporaneous would be delicious. But yeah.
That's okay. They get paid and do coke, and that kind of like fills those gaps.
No, but like the kids like this stuff, or somebody likes it.
Oh,
okay. So it's being manipulated.
You think? Oh shit!
I bet you half the kids resent it.
All right, Ian, you're
they,
in the
you may
no.
have in that thing, listening to that crap.
Okay, so who is the guy? A little top down analysis. Who's the guy making these things hit? Imposing these hits on the market? Who's doing this?
Mr. Neufeld. He's who presented it.
his attempt to do that, he's not succeeding, but other people are outstripping him, and voila, there you go.
See, there you go.
Now, come on, I stay on point here. Look, the Billboard charts is what we're doing. Who orchestrated the Billboard charts to have these songs to be the top five?
I mean, it's done by SoundScan. It's not completely orchestrated. You can see you can say the machinations between getting a song on the radio or getting it in the record is orchestrated. But
yeah.
It's. I mean, this is a popular song. These are all popular songs. People do like them. SoundScan came into effect about 20 years ago, and it actually measures actual hardware sales.
Right, okay, so Ion, we're talking about sales. What's your problem? What's your critique about? You don't like the music, but these are liked by people. And who's making these songs be there? Are you there, Ion?
Well, it would have to be the Pines and the Oaks. It wouldn't be the Poplars.
Yeah. But that's about it.
The Pines and the Oaks are the Oaks of the musical establishment.
That's what's available at the store right now, and they provide shade, and you can give them water, and they'll grow up.
By default. But we wish they'd make like a tree and leave.
Make like a cell and split.
But Ion, who is making those songs get there?
They're saying they're gauging it on sales, and we're saying no one's buying music, so... I guess you've got a few illegitimate backwood buyers of something that was nothing else to buy, or maybe they pushed download in iTunes and got the wrong thing, and that's who the three people that bought made that the top five.
So you're saying there's not much purchasing going on to make these hits?
Why you buy something when the high school girls are giving it away for free?
Exactly.
Okay, so Scott...
You don't buy music anymore.
So I'm asking, who is the one managing this Billboard hallucination? Who's making this happen?
Philip J. Oak, I told you.
Ah, very good, Philip J. Oak. You got the name, Dave. Google him.
Who's that?
He's the guy behind Billboard and the whole management. I guess he's the Tetrad manager in the music department.
That's amazing that someone can create a job like that.
Okay.
You're marvelous. You know, it's amazing what a marvelous creator can do when they decide they want to do it.
Yeah.
Where does he spend most of his time, Mr. Oak?
At the beach.
Which country?
Mostly in Amsterdam these days.
Okay. And is he someone in his 50s or 30s? 40s? How old is he?
We don't know dog years, but 48 his next rotation of birth.
Right, 48. And how did it, where did he come from? How did he get into that position? Was he executive in some major?
He made the position, and then what happens is you, whoever, whatever you put, whatever label gets put at the top of the chart, then it becomes the top of the chart.
Right.
Because people see it's the top of the chart, and just like you goofies are trying to say that this is popular music, well, the only reason it's popular is because it's on the top five. Well, now it's the top five, so you see it with your little looky eyes, so you give it respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, because it's there. Well, crap, that's by default. Sorry, fellers, you're going to have to get up earlier than that.
No, wait, you're missing the point.
No, we don't want to get up early.
Android
meme.
Hey, I don't even know what show he's on. This is Android Meme Critics. We know this is Android Meme. We're using your perspective to find out who's...
Really? I resonate... Well, hang on, Bob. I resonate with what I had just said. That we can now sleep in. Exactly. This is all... We don't even have to look at our...
We don't even listen to this stuff. I mean, Ion's saying that we think this is... We believe in this stuff. We're not believing it. We're criticizing it.
I know, but that's, it is, so it's seen, so therefore it is. And if that crap that's got on the top five, it is on the top five. I mean, if anybody was so dissuaged to own it, they would do so based on what? The popularity contest that's laid out that says this is, it's by default.
You mean people say, I want to be where the mass mind is. They call
well,
it
in that what they call it.
No, you're jumping. We're trying to establish what the heck you're trying to say. You're saying that those who want to have a sense of an outer kingdom world that is populated by something that is a shared social space, you say that they want to tune into that, and that's by default.
Right. So then they then because of the printing press, they are in hip because they recognize and give discerning degree of appreciation to what Billboard says is hot.
Right, because...
Whether it is or not. Because you can see it, therefore it is. And that's the point of all creation, is until you can see it, it won't be. So what they're doing is they're making it seen, so then it is.
Right, that's the visually biased post-printing press society. What you see is what you believe. But there are many people...
I gotta take a break.
Oh,
Scotty taking a break. Okay, he's just got to go do something, but we can still talk. Right, we can think it's still in record.
Yeah. So belief is something that's been thought for a long time. These pops, the idea of a popular space that Billboard propagates is a long term belief, been around a long time.
Correct. And but your Android meme is a changing, Bob.
Yeah,
that's design it no more.
Is what?
They what? They can't design it no more.
Folks ain't buying it any longer.
No, we understand that. I say that we, Cashflow, our show with Ion is the most popular show in the world. Now, how are we doing compared to Ethel Merman and Happy Trails? How is our Cashflow Ion performance doing?
Doing fine. It's doing fine.
We're climbing up the charts, right?
Folks are now seeing it. Well, some don't believe, but some don't believe in nothing. So that's okay. They resonate with it, and as they resonate with it, it gives them a sense or place of power. And that's what owning a Billboard top five is supposed to do for you and used to do for you.
Yeah.
People waited to see what Variety said was the top, and then that became the beach blanket bingo of the day.
Right.
Yes,
but that's,
which is comforting.
But that uniform public space ain't there anymore. It's too fractionalized and multi-conscious, multi-spaces.
So then it would be a fractal example of that, would it not?
Right, a fractal.
Ooh, good. Be emphatically speaking.
Yes.
And then occasionally within these fractals, you get one that has more substance, would you say, i.e. Aretha Franklin. Would Pretty Woman fall into that category by Roy Orbison?
It most certainly would, but you got to realize he was about stone cold dead before anybody ever listened to him.
Or revived him.
No.
He
was big in 63, and he was, 30 years old, he was older than usual in the teen market, but he wasn't stone cold dead unless you meant emotionally, spiritually, or something.
He was gone for many years, though, before he got revived, and then he died about 5 years after his revival. He did the Traveling Wilburys, and there was a new reappreciation of his work by a new generation, and then he became sort of given the legendary status that he always kind of had, but yeah. Kind of fell by the wayside. It is true. I can see like what Ion's saying does kind of resonate with his experience in terms of...
So now let's get to the good stuff. Bad Romance, Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Now you're getting somewhere. Because now that works. Because it's so extreme. It's so extreme. Now, your younger generations are already tired of Gaga. Right? Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so used to the instantaneous zapping that it was hot for a second, but now they're accustomed.
Yeah.
It was hot for a second, and then they're accustomed. That's why the new dynamics, and that's even in your recreational drug things, that's why you keep moving into the next tier and level of it, is because just smoking a joint doesn't do it anymore. They want something with more zing to it. They want a double X with a side of Ativan to get it going.
And they've been getting it. There's lots of markets for these new designer drugs, they call them.
Sure, it's like a hunger for ongoing experience, and yet it escalated to the point.
It never lasts because it keeps has. You get accustomed to it.
And whereas in the past we you don't have the past, but let's say in other periods of human perception,
consciousness,
there was a more sense of being able to latch on to one simple idea and enrich yourself just based on that, and it would have a more of a longer-term value than just a temporary, I don't mind that song.
Like the hair hoppers.
That's Vestal Goodman. You mean the how piled up hair?
No, hair hoppers in the...
beehive. Is it something different from the bee? Oh, that's when they would fluff it up,
ratting of the hay.
Right, it's not beehive. Big hair, Dave, in the 50s style. Big hair.
Well, yeah. Hair hoppers were one that were doing triple processes, doing the doo-wop music.
Yeah, yeah.
Processes, what's that?
Where you bleach part of your hair one color and another part of your hair another color, a different color, and then you rat it very big into a bouffant.
Right, 50 stuff.
Yeah. And what on a McLuhan level, what is the technological environment that compels people to form themselves this way?
Well, McLuhan wrote about the beehive, which is similar in the 50s, because TV was tactile and sculptural. People made head sculptures out of their hair, and hair hopping is a form of head sculpting.
Well, where it actually came from was in the early Church of God and Pentecostal movement in this country, early, just past dispensationalism.
Right.
What happened was it was a sin for women to cut their hair. Well, when it started dragging the ground, or at least getting caught in their ass, they decided there's got to be a different way. So they'd get them a little Pentecostal bun. Well, then they got so much hair that they'd braid it up and start wrapping it around their head because they was out chopping cotton in the field.
Yeah.
So it'd get hot and icky. So then all of a sudden the hair got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden it caught on, and then people would wrap it up and then put hair pieces in the top of it to make a... big hair, just as Bob's describing from the sculpting process, but that's not new. That's kind of Romanesque if you really look back into your recreational history.
Well, those are more tactile cultures, so TV retrieved that, McLuhan would say. He called it tribalism.
Yes.
But in the anthropological tracing of the phenomena, I like what Ion's saying in the sense of it coming out of the South, because when it was revived later as a new wave thing, it was the band from Athens, Georgia, the B-52s, revived in about 1980, the Beehive haircut.
Yeah.
They came from Planet Claire. They were Voyagers.
That's right. I saw them in Toronto.
They were good.
And don't forget ELO. They were all in there, too.
They were fucking hot.
Who,
Then there's funny, you said telephone, and you're talking about the Beyonce and Lady Gaga song, but I always like the ELO song. Oh, telephone line. Oh, yeah, ELO, beautiful sounding thing, but that, a fusion of, like, Mozart and
ELO
rock.
ELO is Electric
Light Orchestra.
Okay. But that's
yeah,
before,
just love some of their...
Isn't that in the mid-73, 74 period?
That's their first hit, their cover of Roll Over Beethoven, but they really sort of knocked they really conquered. Their pinnacle was around the mid-70s, around new, then they became, like, so massive in North America and on radio. They're
right.
So
and
massive.
Then right on their tail was the Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Yeah, I remember
right.
That.
What was their big hit? Dancing in the Moonlight? No, that's King Harvest. What was the big hit from that band you just mentioned, Atlanta Rhythm Section?
There was tons. They did.
What was their one that would have been even I would have heard as a kid on the radio?
Doraville.
Which one?
Doraville.
Doraville. Don't remember that one.
Doraville.
Name, give me another one. I don't remember that one. But I know I do remember Atlanta Rhythm Section. They did have one song that was probably... What was their biggest hit?
They had whole albums that were hits.
Yeah.
They were a genre. They were. I don't know that there was one that was the kick-ass of all.
The pinnacle one that everyone would recognize. Let me see. I'll see if I can find it.
But the point is that ELO, punk, Johnny Rotten was a reaction to that.
Johnny Rotten.
Yeah, he was a reaction to the ELO, right, Dave? They didn't like the beat.
In a weird way, yes and no. Because actually, what I get the sense from Johnny Rotten, ultimately, is he was a much deeper guy than he really, really thought that the audience perceived him to be.
Yeah.
And in his case, no. I bet you, ultimately, he probably could respect ELO.
Right, but the general punk atmosphere was against the big bands of Genesis.
That's right, because they seemed like they were from a privileged class that could learn to play their instruments and make music for the sake of making music, whereas for him, he's like saying, I have a statement that I have to say to my peers, and I will use music to state it.
Boston. Chicago. Boston.
Yeah, that's what the punk was reacting to, the big stadium bands. It was too big. They wanted,
it was just beyond, well, you had to be so good that to get accepted into the record system and that to play that way. And they're like, no, we want to create our own world where we could be Chicago and all that. We don't have to play that well.
Yeah.
I like your Freddie Mercury, and then he just didn't give an F.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Well, as he would say, and now you can kiss my ass goodbye.
Now, Dave,
yes.
The point is, this is not J.W. talk. J.W. was born in 1965. He's too young for all this. Ion knows that all history of the 20th century.
When is J.W. born?
1965. So he did not experience the ELO and all that. He might have as a kid. But Ion is not J.W. And Ion knows all the songs of the 60s and the 50s and the 70s. This is not J.W.
Well, I would say Ion could get this from J.W., that J.W. could be scarcely aware of it, so he could have been 3 years old. And his
no, he gets it from us, Dave. He's getting it from us.
Yeah, and he's getting it from J.W. as well.
Well, he may not have this experience.
J.W. is us.
No, here's an interesting thing. I've done many TV shows. Ion's brought up.
Ion, you're right on the line. We're speculating on you. You want to say what you would know.
I don't know. We're good.
You like the speculation. It might lead to something?
Hey, Dave, let me give you an example.
We'll see.
Dave, Ion is capable. What did he say?
He said, we'll see.
What was the question that was the answer to?
I wanted Ion to correct sort of. I said, well, we've got Ion on the line right now. We're speculating on Ion. Why does he just say it? And he said, that's okay. So I assumed he meant you guys keep speculating. It might lead something. And he said, it might. Anyways.
Okay, so we'll.
Of that effect. And now I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah,
that was the gist of the interaction.
Here's what I'm talking about. Many times in readings, Ion will cite a TV show like Mannix or I Spy or some TV shows from the 50s and 60s. JW did not experience them, so he's getting them from me, even though I didn't see them all. I didn't see Mannix. I knew of it. I knew the name. So, Ion, when you quote TV shows to me, you're getting them from me?
Yeah, except for, like, Sea Hunt with Lloyd Bridges.
I saw that. I knew Sea Hunt.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know that. And the courtship of Eddie's father.
Yeah, I didn't watch, but I remember that.
And
so, but I'm asking you, did you get those from me in our private sessions?
Yes.
Right. And so right
the
now...
The courtship of Eddie's father. No,
right.
I did that. And room 222. Don't forget that one.
Yeah. But I...
That girl.
Dude, the music stuff you're getting it from Dave, me, and Scott.
Yeah.
Correct?
Hey, guys, you want to hear some great resonance? And Ion, you'll quite enjoy this. You know how we were talking about Roy Orbison, that
yeah.
you brought up Atlanta Rhythm Section? Well, I went on, and it says on the looky box, it says, the story of the Atlanta Rhythm Section began in Doraville, Georgia, a small town northeast of Atlanta in 1970. And by the way, Atlanta is a big center of modern, most of those hits, like the ones we're hearing on the top five. A lot of stuff made in Atlanta.
There, yeah.
But check this out. It's really neat. Listen to this. The Atlanta Rhythm Section originally came together as a house band at Studio One. Bowie, or whatever, some guy, recruited three musicians he had worked with previously in the Candymen, a group that backed Roy Orbison.
Very good. Click, click.
Check it, looky box, looky box, looky box. Did to draw attention to the different residents?
No, that's, and I know
guys,
that.
I had to attend to my daughter, sort of that.
How's she doing?
She's having a difficult time sleeping, but...
With the diaper rash?
If I disappear again, just go. Like,
right. Do you have issues to deal with?
Two points.
Is it diaper rash?
2 points.
It was.
I will tell you what to do. Go ahead. I wanted to say that I Scott asked.
Well, hold on,
no,
Scott. You going to deal with your daughter's situation?
No. Ion, Scott, ask Ion about your daughter. Get some advice here.
What do you want me to ask? She's not sleeping right now. But she's I think she's gone to sleep. So I don't know what to ask about my daughter right now.
No. About this rash. Ion, you got some advice about the rash problem?
Yeah, find you something called A&D ointment.
Okay.
And what it does is it makes a protective barrier, so you will never ever have to deal with that breakdown of the dermis, the skin. It's called from the heat and the what's called diaper rash.
Right.
A and D ointment. It's bliss.
Okay.
It makes a barrier so you don't have that irritation because the skin gets sensitive. And if you use that, then it makes a barrier. So therefore, it never is close to the skin.
Okay, I'll look that up, sure.
Okay, the other...
A&D ointment.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Great. Now, the other point, Scott, you missed is that we went to this whole thing, Roy Orbison, Atlantic Rhythm Section, and this and that, and then Dave looked it up, and Doraville, and all this was... So, Ion, you knew the resonances that would lead to this moment where Dave said it, so you did it beforehand so he could see it. Right, Ion?
Of course.
See the process there, Dave?
Was it necessary?
Did
you even have to predict it? Is it just all resonating?
No.
Doesn't that happen with people, too, like all the time? You know what I mean?
That's
like,
why we're trying to convince you that you have the capacity.
That's what I get the gist of every time you're on cash flow. Exactly. That. We love you, Aya, my multiple selves.
but, Dave, the thing is, you found it significant. The secret.
Very dual of you.
What's that?
The very dual of you.
The dual of you. The very dual of you. There's two of you, David. Four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was giving the multi-dimensions of his beingness, and we complimented by saying that's very dual of you.
It's like, Dave, Ion brought up these topics, Doraville and Atlanta Rhythm. So then that becomes your past, and you go on the internet, and you see the resonance. And it validates what Ion said in your own experience. So that's the process of the past, present, future. Like the now is based on a validation in the past as it goes toward a particular future.
Mm-hmm.
And the future places it in the past.
Which is only now because you only experienced it in your middle kingdom just recently.
Right.
Good.
So shall we go to the final song?
Sure.
At number two, yes.
Come on, rude boys, and rhythm and give it up. Can you take it? This one's definitely got a very compelling overall vibration. However, it's a sort of a dopey song ultimately, but it fucking sounds gripping.
And Madonna likes Rihanna 2 years ago, right? Is Rihanna sure. on the scene? Is she a big
yeah,
hit?
That's her name. Yep. She's got lots of hits. She's an icon.
Okay, here we go. It spins and it starts. Stays inspired.
I'm hearing so many gaps, I'm just filling it in. What you giddy giddy want? Do it now.
Hyper graphics in this video.
Yep. So it's funny, we've got the theme going. This one's all about penis size. Can you get it up?
Yeah.
Come on, right now. I'm ready. Are you?
This would be a commercial for Viagra products.
If you can't get it up, they will have
rain on it.
You won't be humiliated in front of Rihanna.
Yeah.
Put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it.
And we don't mean your finger. Hey, kids!
Dude, does this have give you ideas for your music?
I like this experience of coitus.
Certainly, what? What'd you say, Ian?
Brightening up his experience of coitus.
Yeah, Dave.
I mean, sure, when you hear this, you get a sense of this is dripping sounding. People are running down to the club on Friday night, and they're probably, if the DJ's playing this and it's loud and the lights are good, they're going to enjoy themselves. And it's the sound of the moment, so that influences me, of course, when you're making songs. Even if you're not
it's
making songs of that nature, you're kind of wondering.
This is the best one. This is the best one so far. At least it didn't make you want to go age and strict nine.
Yeah, no, sure.
Exactly.
It seems a milder AM version of Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
You know, AM is more...
Well, it's got a nice... You know, it's also, if just on a musical way, it's a fusion of dance hall and electro and the sort of music that's coming out of Atlanta, the whole sort of hip-hop stuff
and
the last 5 to 8 years.
Train.
Awesome stuff, isn't it? People all over the world.
So that very good graphics in the video, Dave. Did you see the video?
It is a very, very colorful, worldly, fun African graffiti.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, they have
Andy Warholish.
Because see, at that point, it's all about the boob tube. It's not about selling the 45.
That's right.
I know.
And Zappa, as an ear guy, was pissed at MTV Video.
Well, and she epitomizes that. She is a very iconic. She's about 6'1". She definitely is a woman, and she's not afraid to show, yes, I love my boobs, yes, I love my bum, yes, I love my
pussy. And
saying,
get it up. I mean, she had to
say
saying,
can you get it up? I'm ready. Yeah.
Yeah, she had to say rude boy. She couldn't say it to her lover. That's too,
to porno. But to say rude boy justifies her able to say that in a pop medium.
No.
Well, you know,
she can say rude boy. That's your rude boy. In other words, yeah, hey, big shot.
Yeah, yeah.
See, so you get it up.
Yeah.
Let's see what you really got. But is it big enough?
Yeah, Celine Dion couldn't go, hey, lover, get it up. You know, that would be too blatant.
No, no. Oh, no, not only that. This one is very focused, too. The whole song is basically focused on the penis theme. Can you get it up? Is it big enough? It doesn't stray from the theme. There's no mysteries in this one. In that sense, it's so fucking direct and to the point that how could they miss?
And that's what Zappa called, this kind of Billboard music is what Zappa called the penis dimension. It's all about the penis.
Where does it go from here? Just more penis?
Yeah, the vagina. Where's it going?
The hara.
It goes to the hara.
The hara.
It becomes this kind of penis.
La, la, la,
one thing I noticed this song doesn't mention is brown party liquor.
Oh, well, it'll catch up.
It'll get in the way for the next track, don't worry.
Yeah. But
it'll catch up.
Remember, Dave, I coined the phrase 30 years ago, discarnate penis, right? That's what we're dealing with here. That's where it goes, the discarnate penis. That's what Ion is. Ion's a discarnate penis.
So now you have reincarnated penis, right?
Yeah. Rihanna incarnated.
Yeah. No, I like
Rihanna carnated.
We got to put that. We got to update our website, Ion. Ion is a discarnate penis. I mean, you're pretty raunchy, Ion. I think you turn people on through the radio. Discarnate penis.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey. That song, that phrase in the Danish song, Train, that first few words was nice, but then
the train song, the Hey Soul Sister. Well, the thing with the Soul Sister, I think, was what Ian just brief said. Yeah, yeah, fine, fine. It's all fucking by default. It's all rote. It's all, it's not, it's like it's trying to ape the magic. It's saying, oh, yeah, yeah, we understand the magic. You need the magic. Okay, we're going to give you some magic. And that's not how the magic comes.
Well, see, right. I'm looking at the people that supposedly like this, and I am saying nobody likes it, and just being a
No, they like it because now the Android meme can emulate what are these basic, not gestures, you know what I mean, these touchstones. They're knowable, you know what I mean? It's like writing
all they're rapping into is they're just remembering Mary Poppins when she reminded them that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
In the most fucking delightful way.
When McLuhan said in the 60s that the young kids live mythically, ever since we have radio, people live mythically, and that's a multi-loaded term, but it implies not real. The young kids, when they hear these songs, they're 10 years old, they like it. They don't have
now.
This genius.
Now. It's now, and it's lined up with their other nows.
It's lined up with their puberty experience. So,
their school, their friends, their other friends that might like it, their friends that don't like it,
right,
or any position they can have in their now.
But they're not worried about the mythical, virtual level of it. In other words, that's why there was payola, because any song on the radio can become big. So the manager,
you played enough.
Yeah, you
even
played enough.
Even a shitty song, if you play it 12, 14 times, people will find one little motif that they kind of don't mind now hearing again.
Right, so the emotion, McLuhan said people don't care what's on the radio, they want to just experience the space, the discarnate space. They say this is where the public space is, where things are going on, doesn't matter what's going on, I'm in there, tuned in. And so the managers of society in the 50s said, well, it doesn't matter what's played, so we'll put our stuff in there, and you're going to have to pay to get your stuff in, because anything can be content, because the larger enjoyment is people sharing that ESP space of shared. So I comment on that McLuhan point that it's the...
People don't know what they like. They like what they know. We coined that one.
Right, but the point is that the content is repeatable because it's what people are familiar, but it's not the content that totally is why people are listening to the radio. They don't do that anymore. It's different. But back then, they wanted to share that space. Dave, you turn on the radio to see what the world was doing. And then all of the chaos of information erupted, and you just let it ride over you. But you felt you were in touch with the turned-on medium. You were listening to the electronic space.
I was in the concert hall with everyone else, even though the concert hall was in my living room. We were all enjoying the same thing.
Yeah, your content, your fuser's content fantasy is going on. I'm saying, Ion, what does non-physical say about the McLuhan point that the electric age brought in this experience of the shared discarnate electric space. What is the meaning of that? To me, that's part of the thinning of the veil.
But yes, but it's moving to the next dimension.
Yeah, I'm talking about the 56, the analog media phase. When it gets broken up by the digital, I understand the difference of the last 20 years. But
well, it's coming back to where it was. Used to, it was you had by popular choice called on demand. And now everything is going back to on demand. You punch in YouTube, you see what you want to hear, and you click it and you hear it. You go to your Looky Box, then you go to on demand, and then they give you selections and choices that you choose when you want to start it and what you want to start it and when you start it and stop it and move it to your bathroom or your closet.
Yeah, see, that's less... In the 50s and 60s, people wanted to see what the shared space is. The digital media you're talking about, people are in their own universe. They're not trying to tune into a popular space.
And it is a shared space, even though it appears to be in their own universe. They're still trying to ultimately, like everyone's going on Twitter and tweeting, but ultimately everyone's hoping that they'll have more followers and more people reading their tweets. And then when they get more and more tweets, it keeps pushing it to more and more tweets. You have to sift through more and more tweets until eventually you stop fucking tweeting.
Right, and so Dave...
Just like you get tired of listening to Mr. Sandman after the 9 millionth time on the 45.
Right, but see, Dave, the analog effect of everybody...
I fucking like that song, though. I gotta say, I do... It's funny you bring that song up, because I haven't heard it a zillion times. It probably I would get sick of it, but it's novel at first. Say we?
Say we.
No, it's good at first.
Glockenspiel, and it has an atmosphere about it, doesn't it? That's early recording, too.
But Dave,
not early, but yeah.
Here's what we're talking about. In analog media, broadcast, few stations, 50s, 60s, 70s, everybody was into sharing the same space. The digital personal computer fragmented you. But
More so.
It emphasized you find your space, but you still need to tap into the analog effect. And I'm saying the billboard is marketing to that illusion of the old shared space.
Mm-hmm.
For young kids to think there's a world out there that they can tune into. And,
well, also the shared space was important too, just on not a top down, not on a bottom up level, on a top down level, that basically there's people in the industry that's their job is to have successful artists and sell records that the public buy. So at the end of the year when they go to the Christmas party and they do the speech, they say, this year we made $88 million, and of that, it was so much profit, and so we can enjoy our Christmas party, and next year, hopefully, it'll go well, too. And that's really
But that's
factor.
Not what they do. Take your Billboard Top 5 now, and they all have a YouTube, and see how many hits they have. And that'll take
Does it matter if they have 20 million or 20,000? Well, that's
terrible. If they're
they have 20 million, it means... It means that people will go and pay money for a T-shirt, or they will pay to see them live, even if they get the music free.
Right.
So they can turn that into an economic scale of sorts of our business model.
Fine. But you're giving this explanation or example tonight is the most popular, and if you went and looked and saw how many Looky Box views people looked at from a full gamut range of available to everyone... If they're so, let's see, how do I say this? They're so goddamn popular, they ought to be have a few hits on their boob tubes, don't you think?
Yeah, when I get my computer on, I'll check the ones we just looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's huge.
We
that
are
report.
Talking about
I know, like,
what
I do hear that on the radio. When I'm in the car, if I'm flipping around, that one shows up quite often.
What, Rihanna?
I want to come on, Rude Boy, long and to give it. Can you take it? Chicka-ching-a-ning it.
Steve, here's the
love me.
Here's the crisis in social consciousness up before ION showed up. This is what I was talking about before ION. You got Obama's being president of an industrial structure, and to the
brief,
ION, you stay out of this. This is before your time.
Bob, let me just cut in for a second. You guys, this is you guys are saying really interesting stuff, and I keep going, but I got to cut out, man. It's like I basically have to get up in about 4 hours. And
true, it's only 2 o'clock. Here's the thing:
really
you've got to wake up early. You got stuff. Okay, I hear you.
Hey, Scott, just keep the recorder going. You guys finish whatever, and
hang on.
In 4 hours, I'll
wait. 1 sec before you hang up.
Yeah,
I understand why you got to hang up. you're almost implying that you're going to leave the tape recorder running or something?
Yeah, just leave the phone on and you guys can keep going.
And then how will it hang up at your end? When I hang up, it'll hang up.
Oh, I'll get up. I'm getting up in 4.5 hours. I hang up the phone.
We're not going to talk for 4 hours.
No, it's all right.
No, I know, but so what? The phone, I'm not expecting any calls at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, Dave.
The phone will be off the hook. So what?
Yeah. Okay, well, Scott, thank you so much. And shit, man, I hope in your next 4 hours that things have sorted itself out and check out the A&D formula, and hopefully that'll bring some great sort of, what would you say, healing. No, healing, no, we don't do that. I don't explain that. No, you know what I mean, the great, what you want this.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But you guys don't lose track of what you're saying.
And Scott, this all those disruptions were important for the theme of showing how non-physical effects are great. This is good stuff.
I know it. You can hear the womp, womp,
yeah, you may not hear my ear tape, but
cutting out is crazy. It's not even, you know what the thing is, it's not even uniform. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like it's sometimes, anyway.
So, all right, guys. Carry on. It was fun. We'll do it again.
Okay.
Yeah. Scott Woods, folks.
Leaving the building.
Scott, the engineer's leaving the tape deck on. You guys continue. Go ahead. Don't let me stop you.
Coming. It's rolling around the bend.
Good one.
Well, that's nice. A good old Scotty, eh?
Don't know when.
Who did that? Johnny Cash?
Prison.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to hear a little insight? My friend Gene told me, and you'll like this. When you know my friend Gene, you've probably heard him a few times. Well, he's got two kids now, Paisley, little girl, and I've never met his son, believe it or not. What did they call him? Anyways, he said now he's had kids, he finds that all his friends who are still bachelors, they have a lot of time, and he realizes suddenly, he's like, now he doesn't have time. He says, I don't have time for you. Fuck off. And he doesn't feel a drop of guilt because he's like, you know what? I have a kid who's just as selfish as you, and all they're thinking about is their needs. And guess what? I have to address them, so I don't have time for yours now. And that's a big breakthrough. He said suddenly he just shooed away people that before he had kids, he would let them take up their time. Then he realized a lot of these people, they behave like my own kids. I've got my own kids. I don't need more. You
And I would say that based on what Ion's been, quote, teaching or suggesting, is that he's devoting too much time to his kid. The kid, leave the kid alone. The kid's smarter, can handle, but we've been talking about this with Connie.
No, he can't. No, it's not about that. It's about, you have to bring her to daycare. We're talking 4 or 5-year-old kids. No, you have to bring them to daycare. And
no, you don't.
What
you don't
you're doing
them,
that
you
day at 4
day.
O'clock.
Hey, Dave, you don't. If you really can't control your kids, you don't give them education.
No, that's illegal in Canada.
Well, you take your power and make a stand.
Well, in my friend's case, and I shouldn't be even publicly bringing him up, this is on the radio show, Scotty, you'll take this out, is, I don't even...
Okay,
it would be too personal to say
Dave,
on there.
Yeah, Dave, I'm saying this because we've got Ion on, and that's what Ion's saying on cash flow. People, take your power, and it's risky to take your power. And so you could say, well, Ion, I can't...
Well, you're also interacting with other people taking their power, so you don't know the complete results. It's not just a one-sided thing. It's an interaction.
Oh.
You,
okay, here comes Ion.
Here comes Ion.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tell it me. I know I want to know, because obviously you can tell these are part of my mental beliefs.
Whoa. Well, now, wait a second now. Hold my mule just a second here. You have issues. What is your interaction with other human creators having to do with you being the center of your universe? You having interaction with other human creators, what has that got to do with you finding the fast joy, being the fastest path to what is? What does that have to do with anything else in anyone else's world regarding your reality of coming into your power?
Probably only ultimately on that part of the interaction is to get a sense of creating some form of wealth that becomes shared on a certain level that I guess becomes
well how's that working for you
modestly
but not so much because then it becomes about as significant as your Billboard top 20
that's right or which that's the thing. That's part of the Semicast 22 is, yeah, is you don't want to chase things for the sake of the money. You want to be working on something that is truly worthwhile to you, and it's not a question of, am I going to make lots of money? If that, it's not, even though in the back of your mind you think, well, gee, that would be convenient on a certain level, but no, ultimately you want to be doing, or I want to be doing something that I believe
well, when
in
you,
personally.
When you come into, well, we have this for you. We'll clean this right up here, right now. When you become powerful and in your power, in your world, that you are indeed the master of your domain, all you have to do is give a thought that money flows freely and easily to you, and then it will, it does. So then you can just do what any crazy thing you like with no regard to anyone else, especially any other human creator. And when you do that, guess what you become? Immortal, and then people talk about you and love you and appreciate you and just will move heaven and earth for you and rip off their panties and throw them on your stage and why, Lord have mercy, they'll do just anything. Once you get to the point where you don't give a fuck, then they love you.
Because you're not
Donald
desperate.
Trump could give a crap what you think of his business acumen.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change his schedule.
Yeah, if he lost everything he had and went back to $100, he would still be, he'd still have the same attitude.
If he went back to $100, he'd be better off than he is now. He owes
what,
more
he'd
than
he'd more
pay.
Resources? Yeah, why would he be better?
He'd be in the black.
Oh, you mean by being so wealthy, he's got all these obligations and liabilities.
What do you mean so wealthy? He owes more than most anyone else on the planet.
What, his ambitions are bigger than his present cash flow?
Well, cash flow? What cash flow? He filed bankruptcy six, personal bankruptcy and corporate bankruptcy six times.
I didn't know that. I haven't poorly followed him, I guess, on a detailed level.
Well, so apparently that has nothing to do with it in his world. He's jiggy with it. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care. It's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. He's still eating.
Yeah. But then doesn't part of your power comes from cooperating with other people? Because they are just coming into their own power as well.
No. You've got to leave everybody else out of it, or you may find yourself less than regarding it. You cannot include any other. You cannot manifest in someone else's reality, nor can they validate your place of creation. Never. It's not too much to ask. It's impossible. Because if you gauge it and base it upon that, the best you can hope for is people are waspish, sir. They'll turn on you. So if you leave them and what they think out of your reality, of your creation, and you get so happy being happy and quit being all quibbly about what everyone else thinks and how this is going to apply and how this is going to work out for me and yada, 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 when you quit caring, it'll work every time without fail or exception. But the second it has to be a vindicatable position that you qualify your beingness based on how you are received, well, so that's why they have to tell you it's I before E except after C. Good.
I before E except
yeah, and words like receive was an old, you know,
right. Well, good shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dave, so you take what Ian says, and you say, okay, apply that to your family, to your friend, you know, can he let his baby live his own life?
Well, it has, you know what it is? It's like an acid or mushroom trip. It's a total,
What is? What's an acid trip?
What Ian just said, and it's like that interaction, and that is happening and going down, but it's getting to the point where you can always feel like you are locked into that zone where you realize that, and inevitably things come up that pull you out of that zone.
Right, you go manic depressive. You get depressed.
No, it's not nothing that I would say.
You said pulled out of the zone.
You know what? The thing is, this is supposed to be a radio show, so I don't want to turn into my own personal situation.
No, this is not a radio show. This is nothing. It's just Android Meme Critics. We can do anything. So no limitations. This is for
the few viewers who listen to it, in 20 years, more people will listen, because Ian will be huge then.
Well, no, I would say all the issues that basically Ian has just said and brought up really resonate with me and are like a theme running through my interaction with bands that I'm working with, for sure, and my whole relation to, like, co-creating with people.
You don't co-create with people, you create. And
people don't like that idea at all. No, that's the thing, too. I'm in a situation where a lot of times...
Fuck them.
Well, you know what it is? People like to think that they're creative. It's like Dale Carnegie. Make people think it's their own ideas.
That's right. And then the thing that is so wonderful with Napoleon Hill's rendition of Think and Grow Rich, the only people that got rich is him when they bought his book.
Yeah, I know, eh? It's excellent knowledge industry.
But see, Dave, I'm asking, how do you apply what Ion's saying? Dave, let's focus on this. Your friend, if they didn't send their kid to school, they got a problem. Unless they disappear and hide out, the authorities are going to come around and give them a problem. So how can your friend implement what Ion's saying? Yeah, unless he gets real radical.
Not really in this situation. Here's the thing is because, you know what a part of it is if people have to work to make money, to make it...
Yeah, and I would say you don't have to.
Basis,
look, let me respond to what you said. I would say you don't need to make money, okay? When you get money from free lease. Now, who's going to believe that? But that's what I'm trying to take on what Ion's saying and relate it to
that's good. We don't have a problem with this. Okay, great. No problem. Everything's right. All's right with the world. Nobody's hurt. But when you start looking at it from our perspective, which becomes your perspective, which we're actually getting from you, okay, you got to have a car, but you don't pay for it. You pay payments. You got to have a working job to get working money so you can have a money to pay for your car so it can get your car to take you to your working job. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to have food, you got to have raiment, you got to have electric, you got to have heat and cold and blah, 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 blah. So therefore, you have to do these actions in order for source or resources to be available to you. Well, then, so therefore, everyone who has a working job ought to have money in the bank, right?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why does it work that way? Because, by the time the taxes come and all the expenses versus what comes in,
Do that. If you have a premise, false or otherwise, that's not working for you, stop it. Don't do that.
Well, okay, you're saying they don't drive the car, don't go to work.
Don't get a working job in exchange for source. Source is already with you. That would be like coming into a place of coming into your meat sack and then having to get another meat sack to validate that you have this meat sack. Well, no, get happy with the skin that you're in, and you can allow money to flow freely and easily to you, and you don't have to make it be about, well, I'm not worthy because I didn't go get a working job, but I worky to do things to get this that's come to me. I'm not worthy of that, or people won't understand, or I'm working with these bands, and I'm telling them how powerful a marvelous creator I am, and they think if it's their creation, well, if it's their creation, then they don't need you. So all of a sudden now it is in your production ex parte, that allows this new flow to be made, to be created through your masterful creating hands. And luckily you enjoy doing this and you could do this and you'd almost do it for free and like you feel like you do sometimes. Then you come to a place where all of a sudden it becomes great. They respect your ability and capacity to remix their listening recorder to put out something that other human creators would be intrigued or interesting. Andy Warhol said it best. Art is what you do when they don't need any more of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because when they don't need any more of it, it's got to be art to get attention.
That's why it's great. And then everybody would sacrifice their testes to get a good Warhol. Well, and you're going, well, now, wait a second. That's the stuff that you do when nobody wants any more of it. Exactly. And that's the point. And see, when you get to that stage, all of a sudden you're having a way different conversation. Then it's kind of like everybody does anything just to get me to do their, help them with their project. They give me vast sums in advance before it's even a hit, just to get the attention of what is that is your creation. So don't get it all crossways and say you're validated because you got to have a working job, because you got to have a working check, because you got to have working money, because you got to have foody food. Well, you got to pay for your lucky box. Well, screw that noise. Or we'd smile and say, how's that working for you? And you go, it sucks. We go, exactly. So don't do that. Don't have all that process. And if your friend doesn't want his kid to go to school, homeschool him or make arrangements for them to be homeschooled, and then your case closed. All good. No question, no problem. They let you do that. They got to go to take their test, but they can have interaction. It's no big deal. Same way.
In my case, my friend, though, he couldn't do that because he's got to make money and do shit. And I really don't want to talk about their personal details, but it's just not a healthy on setup that they could do that quite. They could on a certain level, but you know what? Maybe they don't want to.
Well, it's not about him. He's an example of millions of people who have that attitude.
Right.
And here's Ion offering the impossible dream. I find it hard, Ion, for people to do. You're saying, don't do it. Well, how are they going to survive? Now, you say, well, they just rely, relax, and allow.
It's true. Work, you know what it is? I agree with Ion, and it works for a lot of people.
It's
based on what he's saying, to relax and allow, and it's based on empirical evidence, and it does work for people, but sometimes, and I don't know why, but some people are in situations where it really is a question of just down to the bare necessities, and that's the main focus of their
bare necessities.
Think about your worries. Yeah.
What song is that, Dave?
It's just the bare necessities. I forget, that's from the 60s.
Okay.
It's not Nature's Recipe.
No, it is not. It's from the movie. What's the movie? With the little Tarzan kid, the Tarzan baby with the Disney. Bare Necessity, Uncle Remus, Br'er Rabbit.
Winnie the Pooh.
Anyway, it's one of those ancient movies.
No, like late 60s, no?
Right.
But I know, yeah. Anyways, I remember the song. Anyway,
but Dave, I'm trying to critique Ion, or try to get Ion to relate it to people's argumentations for their limitations. You know, arguing for the limitations, what humans do.
Yeah.
And your friend...
Well, you know what my whole thing is? Is that...
No, Dave, I was going to say something. I want to get what I...
Okay, go ahead.
Now, David, an interesting concept. Now, this even affects JW, okay? Because we don't mince our words. Now, you either like it or you don't. We don't care. Because it really doesn't matter to us. Because we're already happy. We're already non-physical. Our feelings are unhurtable. Now, JW is very different. Many readings in the early days, JW, when he would hear them, he actually had time to listen to them. But now it's so busy, he doesn't even have time to go to the bathroom, let alone listen to things that are done. I mean, that's death. Cause, you know,
anyways, yeah, he heard the first 10 or so.
And JW actually went to bed, freaked out, because we... gave a private reading, a client, and said he was going on this little working list of all these little issues and problems and this, that, and the other. And we said, okay, quit your job, do what you want to do, have fun, make the world supposed to be fun, and that's it. Well, guess what he did? He quit his job, and he's been traveling the world ever since.
But it bothered JW at the beginning. JW was very upset about it.
JW freaked out because it's kind of like, well, Ion, you couldn't be serious. And we said, hell yes, we were. And he's as happy as a hog in schlop. hadn't missed a stitch or a meal or a beat yet, and was having financial difficulties in his worky job. So Ian said, get rid of you. We said, get rid of your job. And JW thought, Ian, you can't be telling people to quit their jobs. and we said, to hell with you. We certainly can. And that's the example of the living proof. And Bob hears from them. Oh, they're in Budapest. Oh, they're in Paris. Oh, they're in Ireland. Oh, they're in Austria. They're... And you're going, what the F? Yeah, there you go, big one, tear it up. That's what we said, and that's what we meant. But JW was, as you were describing it, very kindly, and we appreciate that, of your reality is based on how you engage the realness of your reality. And we've done this, and we're going to do it again, and we're going to do it again, and we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again and then again. Here's how it goes. You have a thought, all right? And that thought, you can speak those words if you want to, but you have a thought. Well, until you have the ability to see it before you see it, then you can't hold on to it. You can't rub it, touch it, eat it, fuck it, sleep with it, wash it, live with it. Can't do any of those things. You got to think it, and then you have to somehow, in the confines of the labyrinth of your mind, find a way for the rods and the cones to be able to see it, just like your billboard's last 40 that we're discussing here tonight. If you find a way to be able to see it, then you have the answer and you can have it. No questions. Every single time, without fail or exception. And you're going, Ion, that is so cool. Now, how do I do it? Well, just think it, find a way to see it, and then allow it to come into your experience, and then you're done. Then you call us up and make an appointment with Bob and say, Ion, I need a demanifestation class. I've got crap, money's falling out of every window. Sons are hanging all over me. I don't know what to do. I can't get any rest. I mean, they're on me all the time. I just give them money and say, go away, and they keep coming back and bringing me gifts, and they lick things on me that I don't even find necessarily wonderful, but I'm doing my best to figure out which parts I really dislike the best. Kind of dynamic. Then what happens is, it is just for many just that way. Mm-hmm. And once you, all you gotta do is think it. You can speak it, but that's not even required. Think it and see it. And when you see it, then the rods and the cones of your eye will confirm it for you. But then you can sleep with it.
Okay, I wanted to reference Rianne's song, YouTube, 40 million hits.
Whoa, sorry. Hello?
Rianne's song that we played, I went to YouTube, 40 million hits. People are looking at it, Ion.
And that's in the last, like, 4 months. So it's like 10 million hits a month.
Right. And then the second song,
popular.
Okay, the B.O.B. guy, he got, like, 7 million hits or something. You know, he got a lot of hits. So Ion was saying nobody's hitting on this stuff. So what did you mean, Ion?
They're not buying it.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, it's a temporary titillation.
And it'll fleet. It's fleeting.
And money is a slower... People buying it is too slow. You can have more experience.
Some people will buy it, but they'll get, say, a successful one will have 300,000-400,000 sales or whatever, whereas 10 years ago, a successful one of that scope would have had 4 or 5 million units moved.
And that's part of the collapse of Wall Street, and that the digital environment has created a situation where people can get experience and money can't keep up with it to charge for it.
Good.
The abundance of experience.
The abundance, yes.
The abundance, money can't measure it anymore. And so it fell away.
Yeah. Which is then, of course, money, it's like McLuhan said, too, as the new things come in and wipe out all the old things, they have to patch up, and as erodes the past, they have to patch up and
they
create new jobs.
Yeah, they prop up the old, they take the old
road. So we can still get up in the morning and have somewhere to go.
We're confused because we understood it this way. Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around.
Money makes
the world go around. Well, maybe that's not the case.
Not anymore, no. Yeah, well, that's what I just said. It doesn't. Money, the people can stay home and watch all kinds of stuff. Why get in a car, go to the store and buy one song? So the use of money is obsolete there. You can get more stuff for free.
There,
you gotta
but not for other things.
What do you mean? What are
the
things you want?
What other things?
Yeah,
if you go into the
physical building, bed, water, heat, the stuff you mentioned earlier.
Well, it's all polluted and ruined.
Doesn't matter. You still have to pay
for
it.
The government provides that for you, don't they?
No, they don't. Not on the scale that I would want.
What, that you want?
So now,
they do, Dave. The government provides all that stuff, right?
So now vicissitudes are what's gauging your level or degree of participation in your creations. Ah, okay, we're good now.
Tell me that vicissitude. What's that word?
Bob, what's a vicissitude? Explain it to him.
Well, what I do is that Ion takes the phrase platitudes versus vicissitudes. And platitudes are statements like God is love. That's a platitude. But the speed of life, the becoming of life is what the change is what the term vicissitudes refer to. So you have this principle, you're a Canadian, and you have this certain belief we're a nice country, but the vicissitudes are you're on the internet exploring reality all over the place on the chip body level. So the vicissitudes of your experience are way more prominent than the platitudes.
Yes.
Yep. And so you're still gauging the dynamic of what's acceptable for you based on your degree of wanting, not based on your degree of what is.
Right.
There's
so much you couldn't gauge what is, so it's just you get whatever you want.
Pretty much.
But you click on it. That's the chip landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You experience the fantasy like that first song.
Mm-hmm. Part of the day, or you can not
into
that.
Right.
Maybe even more.
And then, in
your own world.
You fall back in your chemical body, and you determine I got to use the energy of it. So you go get a job, you know, to spend the energy if you're not emphasizing the chip thing.
Yeah, you go get a work your job, and then you work your fingers to the bone, and then you get bony fingers, and then you
typing.
You
go to a job and you type on a computer.
Yeah. And you get a job, and that basically you don't really make any money, but you're not out spending money otherwise. So then you drag that little money check home to get what little you can't have. That's always more, 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 more. It never seems to be enough. And we're just saying, why would you engage in something and make that work to still die poor? Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave,
you're going to do it. You enjoy what you're doing. Great. Go ahead. No problem. But if you're doing it from a survival mode, that's like a diet. That doesn't work. That'll make you fat.
Really contaminates this process?
Pretty much. You got to keep it fluid from your thinking process and then see it. So now all you got to do, you're saying, Ion, what you're saying is, and so if I want more heat or more money or more food or more creature comforts, all I have to do is think that and then see that, and then it shows up in my reality, and we're going, hell yeah. Well, that's if I work on my working job. Hell no. Your working job is a distraction of why you are less than, because you're not powerful enough as a human creator to trust your ability to see your thoughts through to fruition. So therefore, you have to take an action outside of the fastest path that is your joy, so that you can create and resource or bring source into your experience, and then you're miserable. Because you got this great house, you got this great stuff, and you're having to do your working job so much that you don't have time to enjoy all that heat that you're pumping into your great big house. Good. So if you let it go, give it up, and start getting more concerned with being happy than right, all the When the cares of life grow strangely dim, that's how you know, David, you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution shows up at the same time the problem does. And do whatever you want to do, because that's sort of what you do anyway. Do whatever you want to do, and know that all the delicious wonderment that is being provided by your non-physical already anyway. So all this worky business that you consider so valid and important that ain't very well working for you, let it go. If it was working, tear it up. If it ain't, forget it. Do something else that does.
Nah, he's got a great studio. I don't want David to give up his studio.
No,
you're asking people to make a big leap. It's ridiculous what you're asking.
Well, also, you've been also implied, and it's true, that part of it is, draws me to it, is it's also a healing process or engaging process for me.
What is, Dave? You said, what is drawn to what? What? You didn't get that.
Doing what I do.
Yeah, that heals you.
Ryan objects
to the word healing, though.
No, we don't. Take a bat,
not in this situation.
To a dog. Take a bat to a dog, and he'll heal sooner or later. Go ahead. It's no problem. We're okay with it.
You know, healing comes from a dog world, originally.
Like dogs.
Yeah. Healing, people want to be healers. Ian says, nope, not advisable, because that's what you do to dogs. So then when you go to a doctor, he tells you to lie down like a dog, and he investigates you. That's healing. I'm just pointing out, if you're not getting it, that Ion is not into using or thinking in terms of healing. So you said the word healing, so I'm telling you how Ion would correct it.
No, he didn't correct it. We said take a bat to it.
Yeah, so take a bat to your situation.
And if you need some healing, beat yourself about the head with a damn bat, and you'll find relief as soon as you stop.
Well, Ion, people aren't going to do that. I'm confronting your point.
They'll figure it out or not.
Right, I understand that point, but when
dogs will heal if they don't have to be taught to heal if they feel like hanging around.
I don't know about
that. You tell them to lay down, heal, place, and then they learn to lay down, and then you rub them on the head a little bit, that's okay, good. But even if you take a baseball bat, they'll lay down one way or the other. It's up to you. And that's the degree or dynamic of healing that we're referring to here. But now we're not making a point of a issue, David. Not easy. Do your studio stuff for damn free if you want to. It doesn't make any difference. If that's the fastest path to your joy, go at it wide open, and you'll never have to work another worky job, because you like doing what you do. Then it becomes wonderful. No problem.
Well, Ian, he's been doing that, working because he likes to do it.
Good. That's exactly good. Then that's the fastest path to your joy. And now, if there's still issue with source, then think it, see money flowing freely and easily to you, and then it will. And then you can say, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to do this. This is my creation. I produce.
And that's where I want to be. And sometimes are, and yeah, and occasionally, just at points, I worry. But you know exactly.
Well, we know. But it's okay.
Yeah.
So once you could get rid of the worry, it sure would serve you well. But it's okay.
I know.
It'll just make contrast till you do. Because, you know, it'll be the last place you look, because when you find it, you'll stop looking. So it's okay.
Okay, Ian, what you're saying, how does it relate to this? And I don't think it relates to it. You have the analog phase, 50s, 60s, where everybody's sharing the electric space. Then when the digital media came in, you could create the content of your own space. So you kind of not interested in sharing collective space like you did in the radio, TV, analog media era. You create your own content and send it out. But
you're hoping to share in the collective space by sending it out. So you're still trying to achieve the same thing, whether it was from a giant corporation with lots of employees,
Dave,
one
hold
single
person. I got the words. You got your words. I got the point. So you're creating your own content, but you do linger with the notion of the public space that the radio phase, the analog radio TV phase, gave you. That there's some shared space out there that you're sending out to. But you also know everybody else is doing it. So you don't really take serious that there's a collective space you're sharing. When you're in the digital phase, you get this, Dave? The analog phase and the digital phase. It's a fragmentation that comes in for public space in the digital phase the last 20, 30 years. Before that, it was a unified, totalitarian, friendly public space. Everybody shared the discount.
And then I say, well, what's Ion got to do with this? I mean, people require sharing these spaces. And so they keep the after image of the analog phase. They think, yeah, there might be a little bit of public space out there. Maybe they'll pay me to do this for some image. So that's just
right, if it still exists. Yes,
yeah, if it still exists, and you know, we've talked about this in your own creation.
Someone's incarnating it.
Yeah, the bands make music. I don't even know if there's going to be anybody to hear
it. There'll be people there.
Okay,
there are people.
So we linger with the analog. Dave, we have the analog after image. We still think it's there. There's some public space, and that is what they call the United States and the White House and the president of a country, right? That old literate industrial thing. It limps along in the broadcast analog phase. But the fact is we live in the digital phase, and after 25 years, even that collapsed, so nobody knows who's listened to anything, and the economy couldn't go. And then I come in and I ask Ion, but you're telling people to give up. How can they give up with those dynamics of the hoping for an after image of public space in the analog phase and expressing itself digitally? Way more complex than giving a platitude about giving it all up. That's what I'm challenging you with, Ion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not challenging us. Keep digging that ditch, baby. Tear it up.
Well, I'm interested in your response.
Well, the response is stop digging the ditch.
They're holes.
If you're so powerful and you have all this power and you are powerful, then start using some of your power instead of arguing for your limitations and you're finding yourself bitching because you're having to dig in the ditch because you can't.
Look, you've got four bodies. We're talking about the analog TV body, the chip body, and your chemical body. You're addressing the astral and the chemical body and ignoring the dynamics that people will go working because they can listen to the music on the car radio on the way to work and they get that little pleasure. Then they go home and watch TV. That's why they work. To get the money so they engage their chip or TV body. So we have to think about those factors to figure out what we're advising people. And just to tell them to quit everything and run away is silly. To say to take your own power.
We don't say quit and run away. We say you're a powerful creator and you don't have to have a working job to have power.
And most people say, I got to get it. How are you going to get them to think that they don't need their working job? How are you going to get them? Now, granted that a lot of the jobs are disappearing here, and they're being forced to deal with what you're saying. I grant you that. So you showed up at the right time, because you showed up 5 years ago, and nobody's going to give up their job, because they thought they were there. But here they are disappearing. But still, they hang on to the jobs. So what you're saying, give up your, take your own power. How do people implement that?
What do you mean, implement it?
How do they take their own power in terms of having four bodies?
We're not feeding your bastard baby.
I'm telling you, you've got to address them, and you have another...
I most certainly do not.
I know what you've said. You say we address Bob's bodies and then point out they're obsolete, but they are there for the lingering perception. They are there.
Yeah, what applies to all these bodies?
Experience. What do you mean, what applies? From Ion?
I'm asking Ion.
Yeah. What applies to obsolesce these bodies?
Or no, what of Ion's sense of where it all fits together?
No, don't ask about... Just ask him. How does your recommendation, Ion, apply to the four bodies?
Let David ask. Let him ask.
It did.
What did you ask?
Yeah, do it again, Dave.
How does then... What you're saying apply to all these four bodies. You say, I'm not going to feed these bastard bodies.
Right.
Things.
Bob's
so
bastard that, babies.
Yeah, bastard babies. So, what are you, where are you coming from that not necessarily transcends these bodies, but is not even common to all of them, or what applies to all of them?
You being an ascended human creator, period.
That's what I figured. Exactly.
When you come to an, if you spend your energy into your ascension process, then they are, as Bob pointed out, that we've already said, they're obsolescent. Mm-hmm. They're convalescing already. Because every time you attach a different aspect of the bodies, now we love Bob and
we don't need to go into, you don't need to get started. Just go in to address the bodies. I'm saying you're not able to obsolesce them.
Well, we did. We have, and they don't work anymore because of the chip bodies undoing this body, is undoing that body, and exactly where did your mystery landscape slip to?
Right.
Is it one of your bodies? Yeah. Where is it?
And I said all that a year before you showed up, and then the mystery landscape came up as a noble thing via you, but I'm saying what you're saying to people. I mean, I don't care about the people that don't get it, but I'm sort of putting it on, since there might be a public saying, how can people change their situation without getting in trouble? Look, well, they're not going to get up there. I don't see anybody out here giving up their jobs.
Oh, 12% in the U.S. have.
That's nothing. There's 78% still, whatever, it's 88%. That's a lot of people still going to work.
Okay. Well, hopefully that's their joy. And if it's not, then we say stop it. Because it'll end in tears.
So you're addressing those that feel lack or less than and no joy. That's who you're addressing.
Well,
not the ones who are into their joy and having a great time.
Correct. But if they're having a great time, you couldn't stop them. They wouldn't give up their job. They like it.
Right. So that's so
we're not saying don't have a life's work. We're just saying don't make your life's work be a job.
So you're addressing those.
Bob, you've been able to do that.
Well,
he never had turned his hand for nothing. Didn't even know what he's doing now, and he's so happy he can't tell the difference. And then he's saying, you can't do that.
Yeah,
well, Bob, how do you not do it?
Well, leave me out of it. Just like, I don't have a dog in this fight. The thing, I'm trying to deal with the losers who feel less than.
Well, why?
And that's who we're addressing. You're addressing the losers. You're addressing the ones that feel less than, aren't you?
Yes, and what we're trying to convince them of is that they have all the power, more power than they'll ever use and they'll ever require. Way more than they'll ever require already. So what is the point of going to get a worky job, to get a worky check, to do the worky things that you're going to do the worky work, to do the worky work? It becomes a fruitless dog, cat, and mouse game or chicken and the egg concept. Well, I have to work, and I'm not happy, and so I'm not happy, so I'm going to go to work. Well, if I'm not going to be happy, I might as well not go to work. Well, if I'm not going to go to work and not be happy, then I might as well go to work and not be happy. Well, either way, it's going to end in tears. So we're saying any change, any feeling place that allows your inner kingdom to temper your emotions to find the best feeling thought that you can find into your middle kingdom, it may exclude you from going to a worky job, and all these pleasures and delights that you're trying to bring and increase into your dynamic of what you've decided you want, we're saying that comes to you whether you go to your worky job or not. And it also supersedes all your bodies.
Right.
Whether you like it or not.
Which I agree with that. I say
we have that power. If you have that power, then you do. And if you don't, then you better find you an unemployment check or a worky job until you can.
Right. And you know, I point out a year ago that the obsolescence of the four bodies. That's why I predicted Obama and all that stuff. But the point is that the useful, I find in the people that report back to me that hear ION.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what. I'm here, Dave. Are you? Everybody
okay,
here?
Yeah, we're back, I believe.
Okay, ION there?
Yep.
Okay, so
yeah.
I just wanted to say this, that the people that report back to me that listen to ION or have private readings, they are following ION's advice and dropping everything and having joy and great experiences. So ION seems to work.
And they go to death. And now they don't make their house payments, and they're still in their house, and now they're deciding what they want to do with the house that they're not paying for. Is that cool or what?
So Dave, if you didn't get the vibe from mine tonight, have a private reading. But if you got it, then you got it, and you can float through. You're float free, Dave. You are free.
The English language, even that one.
What did you say?
Junk. It was even in the English language at one juncture. Yes.
What? ION's message?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or no, about the reading, what you just said. Yes.
Okay, I'm saying, Dave.
Yeah. You know what? Believe it or not,
Dave,
I don't drink a lot. But hello.
Dave, you've been touched by ION. And if you haven't, have a private reading, because apparently
I've been touched by ION when I hear Mother Radio.
Yeah. So what were you going to say about drinking?
I just, it's because when you said the brown party liquor, I have the Grants, whoops, hello?
No, we're here.
Yeah,
you're back.
We're here.
Yeah, no, so I've actually got not the head spins, But just, yeah, because I haven't had much to eat today. And I just drank about, not too much, but don't just like 3-4 ounces. But man, yeah, I really, in the last half hour, I've really not had.
That ain't your libation.
Hey, Dave, I did not understand in one sentence. Are you drinking? What are you saying? That you're drinking something?
I did, yeah. I had the Grant's scotch.
Okay, and what's the point
of it? It wasn't even a big bottle.
Why are you bringing it up? What's the point of this point of the drink? Tell me.
He's pointing out the effective of how that he thinks that the alcohol is affecting him.
Oh, okay, all right. I want to hear Dave. Why are you bringing up this drink thing? Give me the point of your paragraph.
Because I'm just lying on the floor, got a little bit of head spins. And,
oh, okay. And why are you bringing
really
that up, Dave?
It's really appealing, but I'm really enjoying chatting too.
Yeah, Dave. Why are you bringing up this head spin stuff?
Because he's trying to point out that he has a non-physical, and he thinks it's the alcohol that has a little effect. And it has nothing to do with the alcohol.
Hey, that's not true.
Hey, Dave disagrees with Ion here. Hey, Master, you failed.
Guess what? You've been rubbed by the non-physical now, baby. Oh, now he done eased in the astroglide now. It's all going to work out now. Because the feeling place is a little bit foreign to you, but not so foreign that it's not delicious. It's not so odd that it's obscure. It's just a little different feeling place than typically if you went out and had a drink, you'd be fine. Well, here you go, we're having a tiny little bit, and all of a sudden you're kind of like, whoa, what is all this?
Yeah, the whole Mickey. Like,
yeah. Well, that's what happens many, many times when you start realizing that you have contact and you have your very own non-physical. And once that starts attaching to your meat sack body, your body goes, hey, this is cool as shit. I like this. I want some more. But you'll find that it's not from any ancillary thing, bodies included, that comes into your experience from the outside. You could have jasmine tea and it be better than the best ecstasy you've ever had in your life. We promise. It's fabulous.
Okay, we've gone for 3 hours and 27 minutes. We got to
do the last song, the best song.
Oh, yeah. Before you do that, I just want to say we got Dave laid out on the... He just visited the Astral Brothel of Dobbstown, and he's laid out satisfied.
Astral Brothel?
Yes, and Dave, it has been a business doing pleasure with you.
So play the song, Ion.
No, is it? I thought you had the number one.
Who's choosing this week? Who was it? Oh no, Scott was, and he had to deal with.
No, we played Rianne. Didn't we play Rianne? Yeah, we played it.
Oh, was it?
So what song did he want to play?
No, that was number one. No, we got to that. No, remember, each week some person gets to pick a song of their choice. It doesn't have to be on the the chart.
All right, so Ion, do you want to...
So it was not my week. I had picked the last.
Not my week.
But there were five, and you've only done four.
No, we did them all.
No, we did. The last one was Rude Boy, Rihanna.
Yeah.
We did. So number five was, I don't have it in front of me,
we did them all. We did them all. Okay. So,
what was number five? Number five was the best one in my head. Remember we started with that one?
Yeah,
that was
the best.
And then the next one was, don't go out with me, because go ahead, do it, but it'll only last like 48 hours.
Yeah.
But we might have fun. I'll have fun, but you might maybe
at
part.
Yeah, we got third song.
And then what was number three?
It was Train, the one we didn't like.
Okay, right.
Then Bob was the fourth.
But yeah, we understood that they need to do that because, you know, they got to deal with the chemical bodies.
Right.
Bob.
So Bob.
They got to feed Bob's bastard bodies.
Bob'sBastardBodies.com. But Dave, the number two song was B.O.B., nothing on you.
Which was crazy because you'd expect it to be a much more exciting week, But no, Bob, just, that was the Bob Anuai, like the Jean-Paul Sartre existentialism, yeah. The Bob Croker, the charts and all that stuff. It really boils down
the
to...
The Croker quadrant.
No, they fucked it up on Bob's song. Just go, nah, it'll never get me.
And then we had it. So we did the five songs. Oh, yeah, we're saying that you can present the extra song, whatever you want to play for us.
Okay. Well, let's see.
You could cop out and play Lady Gaga, but, you know, maybe you might want to find something else.
That's RC Ion's even having tricky because he knows Dave's a DJ. Many realities, or these experiences, and they can imagine this in the astral plane. They can even see the footage of Dave and the public interacting with music together on the same stage.
It looks like his fingers are creeping over the terminal. He's going to click on something. Look, it's zapping.
I like lots of stuff, so you're going to be pretty fucking. You'll be
easy. Dave's easy. Dave's easy.
Yeah, I'll like whatever you
think. Ion, he's on the spot.
Well, you see, you're getting me. You know what, Ion? I want to tell you this. Here's a lovely dream. You know, I don't dream a lot because I partially because I smoke ganja. Well, maybe I dream, but I don't, like, remember my dreams. I don't wake up and it's like, oh, my God, where's when I was a kid and I didn't. I had very vivid dreams. And when I wake up, I remember them. But,
Yeah, you say you don't remember your dreams
dream
now.
The DJ dream, the scary DJ dream, the fears DJ, even though I wouldn't experience this in the actual physical plane, was that in the dream, I'm at like a gig or a wedding, and I'm playing a song, and it's on like a 45, and the song's, you know, it's like, it's only 3 minutes long, so that's like a minute and a half. It's like, I gotta get another song ready. And I'm like, I just don't know what to play next. What do I play next? And I'm sifting through all my records. I'm like, I just can't find anything. And then the song ends, and then the record's going, jung, 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 jung. And I turn around, and people are like, about half the place is gone, and people are getting all their jackets and just leaving, and the people, it's really weird. And I'm sure pizza drivers have the same dream. They're trying to, like, in my dream as a pizza driver, I have 4 pizzas. I couldn't even get the first one delivered. It was just like, wow, like just trying to go to like Herculean task. And then, of course, in the dream, you're trying to reconcile that the other 4 aren't going to get delivered. But maybe somehow you'll get the first one delivered. And it's just amazing the mind, the human creator, the dilemmas and contrast and roadblocks and hurdles are, it's amazing. Like, we can create more of those than we can solutions. It's fucking wild.
Of course. Okay, are you ready for the song choice of the night?
All right.
Well, Dave wanted to have a little interpretation of his dream, Ian. You got a comment on it? Or
no, he doesn't have to. I didn't say I wanted that. I just shared that while he's picking the song.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
Yeah, are you ready?
But if he wants to, yeah. You doing, you rolling, or what are you doing?
Yeah, he's going to play something.
Thank you.
family.
No, I like that, but I didn't really hear the words too much, and who was, what did...
No, I couldn't totally hear some of the words, but it was pretty comforting. Really felt like continuum and family, and like having a picnic, you know, and enjoying the sun, and having a food and a meal, and being
right.
with family,
well,
and having a good
words
time.
Were, the words were, heaven's just a sin away.
Heaven's just a sin away.
Heaven's just a sin away.
Crazy. Well, I didn't hear that. So I only heard the G version of it. You guys heard the P.
Yeah, yeah. Things are for your family picnics and baseball and Boy Scouts. And
I've looked down deep inside, and I know the devil's going to win.
That's funny. Isn't that funny? And it's shrouded in such a joyful-sounding track. So I wouldn't have known that. So they're saying these messages that, shit, we're doomed, we're fucked, we're going to get in trouble, I know that, but hell, we're keep it clean, happy,
yeah.
And we can have a Papa Burger.
In a way, it's exactly right. It's the Kindles. The name of the song is Heaven's Just a Sin Away. So
very nice.
Another day, you can enjoy it and listen to the words, Bob. You should look up the lyrics, and you're kind of like going, holy crap. I've looked down deep inside, and I know I'm not going to win. And heaven's just a sin away, and I'm giving in. It's over.
Yeah, that's actually the exact opposite of how I live my life and why I won.
Exactly.
But I like the music. It was a good song. You probably, it's not me.
Well, but look at the lyrics, and all of a sudden you kind of go, wow. Now, for many human creators, just like your dream, there's a bit of synchronicity there, because many times the human creator can't quite allow the fullness of their manifestation. So they find themselves crossways of their power.
I get from that, I get from what you said so far that Dave is interpreting his breakthrough point as a big problem, wondering what they're leaving, and that's a problem, you know, the
right,
DJ. You know.
Right. And it's not, it's just the ambiance of the new way that they're doing the curtain calls.
So it's a great dream, Dave. You just have to reinterpret it as a breakthrough. You're saying goodbye, and you're watching everybody leave disappointed, but you realize it doesn't matter what they think of you.
That's exactly right. It ain't your job for their happiness anyway.
Yeah, you've been making it happy as a DJ. It's Dave dumping his DJ job, and it's frightening to Dave. You get that, Dave?
Yeah, no, but how about this? You know what I've also got from it? It's in your dreams you have these fears. It's not your job for the happiness. And then when you go and do it in the physical plane, it's really easy, actually, and you have all these worries and fears, but actually...
You've rehearsed it. It's like the dream is a parallel world, rehearsing the experience, and you've gone through the bad part, and then you can do it real easy when you actually do it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's parallel. That's what the
is
parallel
world
is for.
Would you agree with that, Ian?
Absolutely.
Yeah, working out the worst bugs in the system.
By going to another world. That's what you do when you dream. You dream, you leave your body, you go to another world, and you rehearse what you're hoping to do.
Mm.
And you work out the bugs.
Astral projection.
Yeah. Well, there's astral projection, then there's parallel worlding, there's differences and not differences depending on people.
Hey, you know what I find? The few times when I don't smoke pot is like I get weird dreams, and I wake up where I really am awake, and there's like sometimes people like behind me or sometimes, I don't mind this so much, there's cats in my bed and pets, some of my little kittens swatting me, another one just on the mattress, and then sometimes then the mattress starts like really shaking, like an earthquakey. I don't know, it's weird.
Are you saying this is what you see, quote,
the cats don't cause the bed shaking.
They're real
they
cats.
They just come
there.
Around and
they,
sort of swat like pets.
Are you saying there are real cats there? Like, what are you describing?
No, just like they seem like cats that come on the mattress and they'll swat like little kittens, but there's nothing there.
Okay, we got it. Ian, what is going on with Dave when he's not smoking?
He's imagining a bed full of pussycats.
Why is he dreaming when he's not doing his marijuana or whatever? Why is he dreaming more?
And also just not like dreaming more, but then waking up and still, it seems like not even dreaming. It's just weird. It's like being in an alter zone between being awake and in a dream that I don't experience normally.
Okay,
and
we got it, Dave. Let's hear Ion's thing. Well, how do you respond to that? Clarify that, Ion.
Well, he was telling it exactly as it, he's telling it. It's an in-between place.
Okay.
It's an in-between place. It would be a, well, clairaudience from an astral projection state of experiencing a new, different dynamic that can't be explained because it's not real and it's not sleep and it's not projection and it's not parallel worlding, and yet it is his experience.
And that is, and the new experience is caused by him not having the marijuana.
Well, that has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, okay, so it's not connected to his smoking habits. It's not, you're saying these experiences that he has connected to noticing it happens when he's not smoking.
No. When I stop smoking pot, like really cut it off, after about 4 or 5 days, it starts pouring in.
Right, and I'm saying, is there a connection to the giving up the pot, Ion?
Well, the pot is what he uses to disconnect naturally, and when he gets, he loses his disconnection, then all these anomalies start becoming evident. So he's using a hallucinogenic to calm down his world.
Yes. It's true.
Right. Hang on a sec.
And that's what it is. So when I get off it, it's way more intense than when I'm on it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You really start enjoying your disconnection.
Way more.
Yeah,
so it does tone it out and tune it out. And it's weird when you get off.
Hey,
it's
Dave,
way
Dave,
more freaky than being on pot.
Dave,
okay,
you're saying that, or Ion is saying that Dave takes marijuana to dim down a milder form of disconnecting. Because if you don't take the grass or whatever, you're enjoying the disconnections all over the place.
They're stronger.
They're stronger.
The drug.
Yeah, they're stronger. This is interesting, Dave. You have a hyperactive parallel worlding life, and you've been taking marijuana to dim it down.
Dim it down because it's too intense. Where like it just sounds
well.
Weird,
Ion, what would you suggest?
Like my mattress is shaking, but I'm waking up. And there's people like grabbing my shoulders.
Dave. So Ion, let's just address Ion. Ion, what do you suggest to Dave if he desired to be able to take the intensity?
Bump up the volume. Take it.
No, it's true. No, it's not going to kill me or anything like that. No, you know what a part of it is? It's the habitualness of smoking pot.
Wait, hear what Ion's saying. He's speaking.
Yeah.
Your pot has nothing to do with it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
We just established that it helps him dim down. Now you're saying that's not the case.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that the pot doesn't have anything to do with you coming into your place of power. You're just, you think the power is too much. And it's not too much. Hey, Dave, you ain't seen nothing yet. Hey, Dave, you ain't seen nothing. No thing have you seen up until now.
Yeah, you worry about a bunch of kittens buzzing in your bed.
They won't be enough peyote to get you down.
And we end on that note. I think we should end on that.
All right, well, thank you very much, guys. That was...
Fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah.
That was good.
Always well, I've been loving it. And I tell you, Ion, I got to give credit to you. I've been sharing a lot of stuff that you've been saying, the knowledge you've been dropping in your tenets of your
affirmations,
I guess. In the affirmations, I suppose. And my friends love it. They find
query.
It very... What? Sorry.
Quatrains of query.
Quatrains is the way Nostradamus did his lyrics, his writings. But anyways, quatrains of query is what Ion is offering. Is that what you're saying, Ion?
Mm-hmm.
The radio show is quatrains of query. But carry on with your point about what you appreciate, Dave.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I like that quadrants of query.
Quatrains of query.
Yeah, I like it.
You've been driving.
Yeah, no, just people like it, and it resonates with all religions. It resonates with Christians/Catholics, I suppose, if you want to call it that. And it resonates with people that are into Taoist and sort of Buddhist stuff.
Pedophiles.
Yeah.
And
pedophiles. Gangbangers.
And,
singers, resonates with everybody.
Exactly, exactly. Terrorists, agnostics, the whole gamut. They all love it. They're all feeling
everybody
it. So,
loves
so that's great.
And it's a great, great, great supporter for the Lemurians and the Bootians. And
they're comfortable with it, too. I know, it's amazing. You have amazing consensus, brother.
Yeah. Oh, well, Ian's bringing it all together. He's the second coming. Hey, Dave, we did a session, just for all those that are listening, we did a session the other day with a client, and we ended up talking to Jesus, and we got Jesus gave his full endorsement of Ion, and Ion was the second coming plus. How's that, Dave? That's from Jesus, straight from his mouth.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to offer that.
Let
one.
It roll. Don't worry about the celebrities.
That's right. We won't. They're
good
nothing.
Times roll.
That's a rock and roll
Very
song.
Good, eh?
Yeah.
It's a good times.
That's what all those songs are about. Let the good times roll.
Isn't it? And those are the ones that are the hits. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
And that really is what it's about. It's like, well, no, we want to have joy. We want to have fun. That is kind of the mode we want to sort of be in. And if you can do that for 2.3 minutes, that's fucking pretty good.
Yeah, and we just can't all disagree. We just can't agree on what fun is.
Right. That's right. And that's okay, because the fun that you're trying to engage, you can't have any limitations. They're without any intrepidation. You got to come into this place, and you're coming. Now, here's what we didn't tell you. You didn't ask, and we're going to tell you now. You're getting this now, whether you like it or not, and whether you want it or not. Because, Master Neufeld, here's what our little pearl is for you today. Once you get exposed, once you know, you can never unknow something once you know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. That's the balancer. That's the equalizer. That's the mixer. Once you know how to work it, you can never not and never unknow. And this place of power that you're coming into, however massive, if it don't set you afire, your wood's wet.
That's right. You had the fire, but the wood's wet. So be happy anyways.
You'll be happy.
I'm feeling
well
it. I'm feeling it, brother.
I'm feeling it. He'll be in the room.
And you know what else? He'll heal. I wonder if this gets taped. I will also be able to hear it, but I'm soaking up a lot of the stuff now, and it's a great pleasure.
It's great brown party liquor.
Always.
And also, just you're sobering me up. I'm feeling like always
be mindful of the emergency exit, and remember, the closest exit may be behind you.
That's a good one. Okay, we want to bring JW back and say goodnight. So thanks a lot.
Okay.
Very good. Well, therefore, we are eternally and completely and forever and complacently, deliciously, forever stoned.
And you know what? We love you for it.
Well,
it's still
good morning.
Dark out. What'd you say?
It's still dark out. I said good morning.
Yeah, maybe it isn't dark out. What would it be? It's still dark. It's in the morning?
Still dark. Yeah, coming on three. It's fine, right. Bob. You've been busy today.
I can't even remember where we've been. What did we do today? I spent a lot of time with Ion today, but we did a reading, didn't we? What the heck did we do earlier today?
We did a double and another, and then your show thing, and... I can't remember what we did.
What? Okay, this is...
Oh, yeah,
we had the new clients. We did 2 hours with them. Right. And then we went right into this. Jesus.
Yep.
Another day being on the phone for 7 hours, Dave.
Wow, Bob.
Good for you. Well, Bob's used to it. That's the standard.
Yeah.
He's the one that brought Ion up to do 24/7. Damned if he hadn't about done it.
Yep.
Wow.
It's great.
That's crazy.
But it's great for me because, see, I've been gone, and I'm good, and so I'm like, typically you ought to be like ready for bed and all this kind of business, but hey, I'm hot as a $2 pistol. I'm ready to go.
Really? So like you had a nap?
pretty much. But you know, I actually don't go anywhere, meaning I'm just disconnected. I can still function.
Right.
I still function, do things, get things done, all that kind of stuff, but I'm just not connected to it. So there's no drain on the psyche. It actually builds it up.
Yeah.
Like you go to bed to get rested and relaxed and ready to go. Well, when I come back, it's like ready to go.
Yeah, you're rested.
It's kind of wind down, and many of the time, Bob's a night owl, and see, being 6 hours, I guess I've been on Hawaii time for a year.
Yeah.
But even
you have the extra
time,
6 hours with that energy, so you're perfectly fit into Bob's world.
Sure. Because, see, even if Bob stays up, many as the morning, Bob says, gosh, you know, it's getting about 3 o'clock in the morning, I've got to go to bed. And I was like, yeah, that's because it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, and we've been going all night. So it rolls, but it doesn't matter, because when you come back, it's as though you've been resting and completely refreshed and wake up on your own, no alarm clock, and go, hey, okay, good morning, hello world, what a wonderful, delicious, fabulous thing do you have for me today?
My gosh, imagine if everyone was applying, that just sounds perfect.
Yeah.
It is, and when you're tired, sleep. When you want to rest, rest. When you want to go run. You know, it's all fine. It's all good.
Yeah, but you sound really charged up from your
doing.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Oh, my stars. Yeah, because, see, I've been clocked out for all these hours. I'm good to go. That's why Bob says we tear it up on the weekends now. You know that.
That's Wednesday. We do a three-hour show, and then we do 5-6-hour tailgate. 9-hour day, that's the weekend.
And then we melt titanium for about 4 hours the night before from...
That's right, yeah.
Hey, you know, it's funny, I was thinking about that with the melting. I think you had said on some show, and it was cute, and I told it to my friends about, Aya said, about that humans had come from the future and deposited titanium in the ground because they need it.
Now.
You realize later, yeah, we'll need it now. And so I thought, you know, if you've got them from the McLuhan angle, all these simultaneous environments and all retrieving the past, it's all kind of here and you can experience it now. And then you bring this whole, a new escalation of that equation to dilemma that, no, now you've got future, past, and present actually are interacting and have all already happened. So the future's already happened, so now it's already gone back into the past to interact with the now. We thought we were juggling enough just retrieving the past and present. This is taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that explain eschatology?
What's that?
Eschatology is a Christian theological discussion. You know, there was, when they analyzed the Bible, there'd be four levels of interpretation. The literal level, the symbolic level, the level that applies to human conduct like morals, and then the I don't know level, what the hell is this, ultimate mystery. So eschatological is exploring the ultimate mysteries, and when you have future, past, present interacting in each other, it's quite a mysterious landscape, and that's what he means by eschatological.
It's a really mysterious landscape.
That's what we're getting. We're getting these phenomena showing up, you know, in the news.
And also, just at what point in human history do we start to, like, suddenly go back into the past and become aware of doing that and putting titanium there? When does that breakthrough happen where suddenly
that's the expanded now. Dave, that's the expanded. This is an answer that comes to me. I'm channeling. The expanded now. That's the expanded now that is happening, but we haven't allowed ourselves to experience that yet.
Yeah, that's right. You got to see it, and then you can see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once you see it, then you'll be able to see it.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fine line between
that'll hit you. I'd say that hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning, but that's about what time it is now for you.
That'll hit you at noon hour tomorrow, Dave.
At noon hour tomorrow, it'll be a white-knuckle flight. It'll be fun.
Right. But there's a fine line between thinking it and seeing it.
I know, it's absolutely, and that's why when people take hallucinogens or some experience, they want that effect to last permanently in their lives, I know when I was like a 14-year-old, I'd be like, why can't I feel, have this perception all the time? It would make so much more fun interacting with people, so much more fun going to school.
Dave, we got it. So, but Diane's, JW is saying it can.
Yeah, you can.
And JW right. kind of lives that way.
Oh, that's great. The better it gets.
Yeah, where you have that, what, the sense of empathy and understanding.
No. He didn't waste time empathizing. JW is traveling all over the place and all the world all the time.
Well, maybe when right. I say empathize, it's not being
no, listen
like
to what
a
he's
social
saying.
Worker.
Dave, listen to what he's saying. What, JW?
Dragging shit home. Get another house, fill it up. Bringing stuff home. Abundant.
From other worlds.
It's great fun.
He has, Dave, here's an exclusive. He has a letter sent by me, right? My name is on it.
Yep.
And it came from CERN.
CERN?
Yeah, the Hadron Collider in Switzerland.
Okay.
It came from there, Dave, a letter to JW from me. Now, go figure. But that's there in JW's home.
Hand delivered.
Hand delivered to him.
And the subject matter?
The working...
I won't do that.
That's top secret right now.
Yeah, it's not
going to happen. Yeah, well, that's right. It's right. He's squirting it in his own eye, but he's reaching the limit. He likes it, though. He likes it, even though it's hey, Bob's good on a bad day. It's okay.
You don't want to be around me on a good day. It's just
Somebody's gonna get pregnant.
Okay, well,
or at least real sticky. Anyway,
yeah, my golden shower, man.
Oh.
heal me, Bob.
That would just put the W on it, Bob.
What'd you say?
So that would just put the W back in Waleo, won't it?
Did you say W back? I'm not getting the verb.
That would just put the W back in Waleo.
Ah, you got it. Yes, very good. Yeah, W back in Waleo. Excellent.
Well, very good. Well, all right, Spurts fans, y'all have fun.
Spurts fans.
Yeah.
Don't spurn the sperm, Dave.
Yeah, don't burn the sperm. No, yes.
That's why
no sperm and less sperm.
Yeah, and that's for all our Spurts fans.
Our Spurts fans. Yeah.
You got it, Dave. You can go now.
Right. All right.
Have a great night. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, JW. Thanks, Bob.
And if Scott edits any of this, it'll all be on my site, the whole enchilada.
Awesome.
I'm sure there'll be much editing for his perusal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, brothers.
All right, brothers.
Good night.
Okay, good night. I am JW, everybody.